Blog Talk Radio.
I've played with feet before.
No, you have a baby. Yeah.
know I like it, you know? The toast, I'm not going to get you.
No. No me digan las cosas así. Love to do that for you.
You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself, nah. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. You make me feel like I did you wrong. Going places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport. Hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. These days, all I do is wonder if you're bending over backwards for someone else. Wonder if you're rolling up a bag was for someone else. Doing things I taught you, getting nasty for someone else. You don't need no one else, you don't need nobody else, no. Why you never alone? Why you always touch a road? Used to always stay at home, be a good girl, you was in the zone. Yeah. You should just be yourself. Right now you're someone else. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city.
I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Hey, what's going on, Grudge World? Want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. We've got a topic for you guys today. I posted it on the group page. Oh, man, I think it was right on time because I seen a video where, that Nova sure didn't look good. If y'all looked up on my page or y'all seen a post out there with a green Nova with street racing. And when the video, I noticed in the video when the other car had the camera on it, something in the front of his car broke and fell down. And it looks like his suspension broke. And the whole front of his engine just caved down on the ground and started rubbing the ground, and sparks went everywhere. Oh, man. And the engine and trans was sitting outside of the car after the accident. Mm-mm-mm. Thank God he's still alive. I don't think he was messed up too bad. Little bruises here and there, from what I was told. But thank God he's okay. But was he wearing a suit? Was he? Did he have his fire restraint uniform on? Did he have his shoes on? Because the fire didn't get too bad to where he had to be in the hospital, but I couldn't see. Did he have anything on? We've got a topic tonight, people, on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. The topic is, what in the hell is a fire restraint suit for in racing, and why aren't some people wearing them? Now, I've been to the track on many a day, and I see guys with a jacket, and they racing. I see guys with just a pair of pants. I see guys with their race shoes on. No gloves. So why aren't they wearing them? Is it that uncomfortable? We've got a topic for you today, people. We want your answers and P's and Q's on what's going on. Before we get to the topic, we're going to do some intro and give people a chance to come on before we start answering and asking all the questions. Because you know how people are. They're always late getting on the show. But think about it. Think about it. We ain't going to never have enough safety talks on this show. If we talk about safety for the next 20 days, that still ain't enough. Safety needs to be reiterated all the time in these people's heads, because we'll forget, we'll lack on spending money on safety because we don't want to spend it. Might have the money, but we don't want to spend the money on safety. And that could be anything. Oh, man, that's fire extinguishers. We talked about that on the show a while back. It's time to bring it back up again. Having a fire extinguisher in your car. Some have a fire extinguisher for the engine under the hood. And it should be labeled so somebody can find it. The safety when something catch on fire. Oh, man. I don't want to talk too much about a fire, because yesterday, Shake and Bake almost went up in smoke. But anyway, safety is so important. Even around the shop, you got to have safety stuff around the shop. There's a lot of times where I'll be cutting stuff and I don't have safety glasses on. Been working on cars for many, many years. Thank God ain't nothing seriously happened, but the most stuff I've ever had was some trash getting in my eye. Nothing catastrophic, nothing, no cut off, no fingers, nothing serious. Trash getting in my eye. I've had a cut off wheel one time grab my shirt tail. And as soon as it grabbed it, it died out. But you got to be careful, people, how close you get to things. When you work on stuff every day, them close calls will help you wake up. A whole lot of close calls that's telling you something. You got to learn to slow down, take your time, think about it. How they say, measure twice, cut once. Think about it. When you get ready to go to a racetrack, checklist. When you're going racing somewhere, get your checklist. Get a piece of paper and write this stuff down, because it's very, very, very important. How important? To the point where if you don't have certain things for your car, they won't let you tech in. And safety is one of the most important things, because a track will not let you participate without certain safety. Now, this grudge world and the street world racing, both of them are outlaw. Can you get away with a lot of stuff? Yeah, yeah. Who's gonna fuss? Nobody. There's certain things you can get away with when it comes to street racing and no prep grudge racing, because it's outlaw. It's down to the minimum. We only need some fuel, some tires, and step out the way so we can go racing. Ain't too many rules. Now, if we get on the track, oh yeah, they got, you can't red light, you can't cross the center line, and the tree is going to tell who won. So how important is safety? Very important. We can never stress enough of it. So why aren't we wearing it? Why don't we have it? There's issues that get in the way, and sometimes it's lack of money or ignorance. Or what's it going to be for you? Okay, enough of me talking. I was stalling trying to get some people to start coming on the show, but we'll go ahead and we'll slowly kick it off. Let me do the intro and get to and introduce everybody and see. That'll stall us a little bit more time. We got one hand up. My brother from another mother, Teo Russo, all the way from California. Hey. What up, Teo? Teo.
I said, how about sunny but cold, very cold.
Oh, man.
About 62 degrees. I'm freezing my ass off.
God, dog, with 62?
Ooh, don't even see me. You said that, and that chill just ran down my spine again. Stop it.
62.
Stop it. Man.
Y'all don't know what cold really is. It's raining.
Hey, when
it's
I see the
sprinkling here, we got a little bit of sprinkles, not a whole lot of washout. It's a little chilly. We had some sleet earlier. Then that disappeared because of the warmth of it. Melted right out. But you talking from 60. Because
there you said again. There goes that chill again, man. Stop it. It's like nails on chalkboard when you say that, man. It's just like, ooh,
every time I say 60. Every time I say 60.
Oh, there it goes again, man. 60. Ooh, in the back of my mouth, that sharp pain, man. Stop it.
Hey.
That's my kryptonite.
I'm going to say 60. And then I'm a tag team with Rich. And Rich going to say 60 again.
Damn, look at it. I got goosebumps right now. Stop it. I got to go put a sweatshirt on.
For what? On 60? You got to put a sweatshirt on for 60?
I'll put a sweatshirt on at 68.
Man.
72 and up is right where I live, baby. Anything at past 72 is free.
So if I say, what's your 60 foot, you get the chills then?
Oh, I won't get the chills then, because now I know we're talking about good stuff. Or my age now.
We're still saying
60. Man, but I'm going to look at it. I'm going to keep saying he's talking about your age, Tim. He's talking about your age, so I'll be cool.
Oh, man.
You know, like when you go get a shot and you look away, but it still hurts? Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. It still going to hurt, man. That looking away ain't going to do
hey,
no
Shake.
Good. Yeah.
I think you got a really good topic for tonight, man. I really, really do. And it's going to get interesting because you know what? I got a whole bunch of takes on why certain people don't wear. And they're just my opinion. They're not, you know what I mean? It's just what I'm thinking why. But
okay.
it's interesting.
Well, hold it to yourself for a minute. I keep seeing Rich number keep going off and on. Is he having a problem? Hey, Rich, you having a problem with the board? I see your number keep coming on and going off. Hit the one button.
You know, it could be all that weather you got there, T. This thing was raining. Is it like lightning and stuff like that, too, or no? It's just cool like
no,
that.
No lightning. It's just cold. It's just cold. See, he kicked off again, and then it came up, and then when I said hit the one button, he kicked off again. Unknown, you there? Hit the one button. Unknown, hit the one button.
What do you think about that little handout? I think that's hysterical.
Oh, man. I thought they were going
to. Oh, wait, hold
you
on, man.
Middle finger.
Hold on 1 second, Chick. Hold on.
Is that Rich calling you? Hey, unknown.
Yeah. Hey, what's that? How y'all doing?
It's 50.
Hey, Shake.
I'm good. Yeah.
Shake.
Yeah.
I got Rich on my line, okay? Because every time he hits the one button, it cuts him off. So I got him on my line right now. You okay with that?
No, tell him to call back, and I'm going to just open it up.
Okay.
Because I know we got unknown on. He just hit the one button.
Okay.
Okay, brother unknown. All right, got you.
Can
you
get back here, Shake?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you got something wrong with the board tonight.
Well, I'm blaming on Ball Talk. Unknown just got in. And
yep. I call every time I hit the one button, it wouldn't do anything, and then it would cut me off. It wouldn't say that you are now in the hood or whatever or queue.
Yeah.
It just cut me off.
I don't know.
So
you got an iPhone too, don't you?
Yeah, I don't have cheap service or nothing. I've never had an issue with any show, so I don't know what the hell's up.
Yeah, it might be. Well, it might be this weather too. So I'm hearing the rain picking up even more.
Yeah, 40 degrees and rain in December. 38 degrees and rain in December is not good.
Back team, back again. Hey, Rick.
Give me my Ugg boots, honey. Give me my Ugg boots, honey, because
degrees.
It's cold.
Say 60 degrees, Rick.
Man,
I dropped. I didn't say 60. I went 30. It's freezing for him.
Mm-hmm. His teeth is chattering.
Man. I put a blanket around my shoulders now.
Hell, let's take a trip to the North Pole.
Oh, hell no. As long as you bring it down south.
That's not taking a trip to the North Pole. That's taking a trip down.
Well, y'all still racing?
Bring the North Pole down.
Am I still racing?
Yeah. Yeah, y'all still racing. Or y'all pulling your own puddles. That's not going on? Okay.
Nope.
Right.
Nope. I'm here in Michigan just like Jake is, so.
Y'all stop when everybody else stops?
Well, here in Michigan, yeah. I didn't get enough testing on the car to do any traveling down south. They just had a couple of races down in Kentucky, but the guys that went down there said it was still in the 30s at night down there. It was cold as hell, so I guess it don't really matter how unless you go way south.
Yeah, you got to go below that Mason-Dixon line. The weather starts getting real nice. Real nice.
I thought Kentucky was.
You got to go a little farther. You're right at the border. You're right at the border. Start going a little further than that. Arkansas, Alabama, Florida. Yeah. Louisiana.
If I gotta go that far to race my car, it's time to put it away anyways. Hauling that trailer through the slush and the snow and the ice to get down there ain't even worth it. too risky, too much money involved in all that shit to take it out there and have some idiot direct it.
Now let me ask you a question, Rich. Up here could be snow on the ground. You would not drive your trailer and truck through this, and by the time you get to Kentucky, the grass is green on the side of the freeway. You wouldn't go there?
No, because I have a two-wheel drive, one-ton dually. So if there's snow on the ground, that truck is a worthless piece of shit.
Yours ain't four-wheel drive?
No. You don't need a four-wheel drive in the summertime when you're going racing.
So you're not planning on doing no traveling in the snow at all?
Well, I mean, I've got other guys that's got four-wheel drive trucks. If it was really something that I wanted to do that I thought I had a real good shot at,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say I wouldn't travel, but I'm not going to go just to see how things work.
Yeah. Hey, Tayo.
Yes, sir.
Your truck is a 45, a 450, or is it a 350 dually?
450.
Four-wheel drive?
Yes, sir.
What do you like about it?
About the truck?
Yeah.
What do I like about the 450? Because I had a 250. I just like the pulling capacity. I like the diesel engine in it. I like the cruising range on it. Four-wheel drive stuff, I don't really or haven't really had to use it for anything.
Because you're in California.
Yeah. But, you know, it's always something, I guess, nice to have, just in case.
What year is it, Tail?
2014.
So it's one of the newer, got all the emissions and bullshit on it?
Yeah, the jet fuel and all that stuff.
That's why I won't buy a new one. There's too much electronics and BS on them.
I love it, man. I love how it's quiet.
Is it a Ford?
Yeah.
So you got the 6.7?
It's so quiet. Yeah, 6.7 in it.
Mm.
I was thinking about just putting that cold air intake on it, but I don't know too much about what all that's going to do for it. It's got plenty of power. I mean, it's got a ton of power. So I don't need to do anything like those guys put those chips in them or not. I don't need any of that problem. It works great as is.
The vehicle through the speed, the truck through the hauling.
Yep. Absolutely. And I got a lot of stuff, not a lot of stuff, but, you know, I got my Snap-on toolbox in there, and I got my Rhino in there, and I put the car in there, and, you know, and what I'm going to be taking. But, as far as pulling it, that trailer stays straight right behind me. It doesn't wiggle. It don't do shit.
Now, the reason why I was asking, because I'm in the market of finding me a dually truck. If I don't find nothing that I like, I'm just going to put me something together. I'm a little skeptical about getting a used one. I don't know what somebody did to it. They say they didn't change this and that. I don't know. I feel better when I work on my own stuff. Like the transmission in my Taurus, I rebuilt that trans last year. Do I feel safe by taking it across the country? Absolutely. When I hit that highway, I don't worry about that transmission. The engine's just been running pretty good ever since I had it. Now, if I got me a dually, and I got a de-seal on it, I would like to go through the engine and trans, rebuild them both, and make sure everything's in there is up tip top, and then I can hit that highway. Because I don't have the silver spoon like some people in California where I can get me a 2016, 17, 18, 19, 21.
Oh, I can't get that either, man. I can't afford that shit. Those are $80,000 trucks.
Yeah, they and these prices of stuff, man, they just go crazy with it. Hell.
But you know the good thing about it? Like my truck?
What?
Like with my, so you know, because of the depth fuel, it has a little heater in it that heats up that depth fuel stuff. And it went out. So I called the dealership and said, hey, you know, what is this part they bringing in? It's got an 11-year warranty on it. So I brought it in. It was 11 years or 120,000 miles. But my truck only has 84,000. So they put it in, and the warranty covered it. So even though it's a 2014, it still has warranty issues or warranty parts on it.
But so let me ask you a question.
I was happy because it was an $800 part.
What did the car do? I mean, what did the truck do when it started acting up? Loss of power, won't start, running shitty.
Well, I think that with that heater, when that heater goes down and starts doing that, that's exactly what happens. You get a loss of power, gas mileage goes to shit, which what was happening for me, I couldn't understand why all of a sudden I was getting 8-9 miles to the gallon. Once they fix that thing, I'm up around 15-16 now. So
that sucks.
Yeah, big truck. That's pretty good for that truck.
Well, what do you
say, Rick? Mine's a 3500.
Yeah,
6.5 turbo diesel, dually.
That's a ton. That's a 1-ton truck, right?
Yeah.
Mine's a ton.
Hauling my trailer, I get 18-20.
Yeah, I'll get that once I get rolling on the freeway. I put cruise control on. Yeah, it'll get up to around there.
You ever weigh your trailer with everything in it?
I haven't. I haven't done that yet. I'd like to because I have on my truck, I have a tag on the side of it for the $15,000. And I should have paid the extra $60 to get the $20,000. Because I think I'm close to it. But I think next year when I renew it, I think I'm going to go up to the 20.
I think
that'll
be surprised because that,
because
your truck weighs more than mine does.
Yeah.
Obviously, being a 4500 or 450, you got the next size up in truck. I got a 28-foot enclosed car trailer with all my stuff in it. That trailer with everything in it weighs 8,400 pounds.
Oh, wow. My trailer's 32, triple axle, so it's got some weight to it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the trailer.
So that's why
trailer.
I was thinking.
That's the trailer you got from
Atomic Dog.
Atomic Dog, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a triple axle when I seen it on that video.
Yeah.
And how many feet
must
is
it? Must be a tag trailer.
What's that? What was that, Rich?
It's a tag trailer, being a three axle?
Yeah.
Now, what is tag? I mean, it hook up to the tail, the bumper?
Yeah, it hooks to the bumper.
Yeah.
It's not a fifth wheel or a
gooseneck.
With the gooseneck.
Now, my truck is set up for all that. It's set up for the gooseneck or the fifth wheel, whichever one I want to put in there. Problem is, in order to have the 32-foot box, I got to get a 36, 38-foot trailer, and I just didn't want one that big.
Well, I looked at, because I wanted a 28-foot floor space, which would have been a 32 or 33-foot fifth wheel.
Yeah.
But my CAG trailer, brand new, cost me $7,500, $7,400 and some change. The same exact company in a fifth wheel was $14,000. Just for that extra 4 feet to go over top of the truck, I'm like, screw your ass. It ain't worth that much.
Yeah, they get over on us, man. And it seems like there's a lot of companies in Texas. Texas got a lot of trailers. Going from Arkansas to Texas, I think I passed by about 15, 20 of them different places.
Yeah, Phil's trailer is the big one out there.
Bill and Tex Trailer. Cause I got a Tech 3, 53-foot trailer, and they are out of Texas.
Yeah, I like my trailer. I do. I can't complain. I'm hooking up reverse lights to it right now. I got one side done. I got to do the other side tomorrow.
Now, what was that you mentioned about a 15 on the side of your truck? What was that for?
So what it is that when you have a truck like that out here, you have a maximum weight, and it's the weight of the trailer and the truck together that it can pull. So my truck is registered to pull 15,000 pounds. A total of 15,000. Now, if I'm 15,200, and they decide for me to go through a scale, I can get dinged for being overweight. So I don't drive. I don't have to go through scale. But usually they don't really mess too much with people like. The trailers like that, pull them over to see how much they weigh. They kind of have a rough idea there's a car in there and doing their thing.
And see, here in Michigan, it's 26,000 pounds is the cutoff. If you're under 26,000 pounds, you can use a regular plate. If you're going to be at 26,000 or higher, you have to buy the commercial plate. And then you get dinged on the insurance for the commercial plate and everything else.
Yeah, and mine's a commercial truck anyway, because the 450 being the 450. But as long as I have that weight, that sticker on it, I don't have to go through the scales or anything like that. But you know, you should have them on the truckers should have them where they're 80. The truckers have 80. You know, you'll see that tag. It should be on the front fender.
On the passenger side.
Right. On both sides.
Both sides. Y'all gotta have them both sides.
Yeah.
We only have to have it on the driver on the passenger side.
Oh. Yeah, we gotta have them on both sides.
You guys gotta have front back license plates too, don't you?
Yeah.
See, we'd only got back plates on our here.
Right. We quit that front and back plate. Ooh. That was back in the 70s, wasn't it, Rick?
Yeah. Late 70s.
Back in the 70s.
So I put a personalized plate on my trailer, and you know, you're only supposed to give you one plate. You know, you turn one in, you get your personalized plate. They gave me two. I'm putting the other one on the Vega. It's the street car. It's got a license plate now.
So what you do with the – don't you have to have plates on the front and the back?
Not on a trailer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the truck.
No, that personalized plate's coming. I'll have two on that one.
Can tell who's got the money, huh?
You know, the old school plates they used to have here in California in the 60s with the black plate with the gold writing on them. And then in the 70s, they changed it to the blue with the gold. And I never liked the blue. I have the one. I actually have the original one for the Vega, which is a blue plate. It looks so damn dumb. So I like the old school. And plus, the trailer's black. My truck is black. Why not get the license plates done? Everything matches.
You guys have the ability to do authentic plates on your car out there?
Like, what is authentic?
Well, like I got
we have a
historical plate, but then an authentic plate
yeah.
is like my Camaro has a 1979 plate on it that actually was registered. Last time it was legally registered was in 1983. So that's an authentic plate. So for $42, I sent it into the state. They register that plate to the Camaro. It never expires.
Uh-huh.
I've got a 79 plate that's registered to my 79 truck.
Right.
And I just found a 1976 plate, which was the American flag, the bicentennial plate for Michigan.
Right. Yep.
That the last time it was tagged was in 1978. So that's going on my Malibu. So it's $40 and it never expires.
That's
it's an authentic plate.
We have just like the historic plate. But I do go to the swap meet because I have a 61 Thunderbird. And before the plates went black, I think in 62 or 63, they were yellow with the black writing on them. So I would usually they sell the license plates, but usually I only see them like one. I never see a pair. So as soon as I see a pair, I'm going to buy them because they're cleared through DMV. And then I'm just going to get them and put them on my car and have like somewhat of an original plate for the corrective year. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And there is a guy on Facebook that has plates for almost every state in the nation. If you go on Facebook and put in original plates or antique plates, it'll bring up a bunch of different people that's got them. And that's where I got the one for the Camaro, was from that guy.
Oh, wow.
Cost me $40.
You know, I used to save old plates. I had a basement full of plates. And when I moved out the house, I left them suckers in there.
I've got some out here. They're Michigan plates, so obviously they're not going to do anybody in another state any good. But I've got some from the late 40s through the mid 50s, not every year, but different ones, that are still in the original sleeves that have never even been mounted on a car.
What?
Wow. You know, my wife collects the license plates. Like, she's got a whole bunch of out-of-state plates. And when mine came from Texas, on the trailer, you know, I gave her, she's got the Texas license plate now. She's got Hawaii. She's got a few. But,
the only thing I got from out-of-state is the Florida tags. I got three or four different Florida tags. And I've got a Oklahoma.
I'm going to send you one of those, if I can find one of those 1978 or 79 California license plate with the sun shining on it. So that I can send you some California sunshine.
I'd take it. I'd put it right on the front of that Malibu.
and you want to hear, guys, want to hear something real quick? A little off subject?
What's that?
I checked out the rules. You know, last week on my show, we were talking about that spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
It says nothing about that spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. They were all just full of shit.
So it was one of them like we was attacked years ago with grudge rules. It was male rules.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whatever he called, pretty whatever much. He deemed, whatever he deemed necessary to get your boy out of there.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's his rules. It's his event, so he can make up the rules. Yeah, that's why he couldn't tell me anything about the rules. So I said, no, I didn't read it. Tell me what it says. And he couldn't tell me what it says because there's nothing in there about that spoiler.
And wasn't it somebody else had one identical like it?
Yeah, there were a couple more in that class. They didn't say nope. Well, I didn't see the car, but someone told me there were about four or five more cars in there with that same spoiler, and they ran. So.
Those are your promoters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a cool, some of them are.
Is what it is. We ain't going out there no more. Might go out there just to talk shit.
What was the name of that track? Say up.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Called The Strip.
Called The Strip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good track. Love that place.
Oh, did I tell you Artist Houston called me?
What do you have to say?
Not too much, just getting to know him. That's my first time ever talking to him. And
how'd he call you? Why are you calling my people?
Because I thought we was family.
Of course we are.
Steak and Bake Russo.
Oh, okay. Well, so I didn't know that. Since you put it that way, we're all good. Yeah, Artis is a good dude, man. He's my brother from another mother, man. Great guy.
I will have some more information on another event for you to promote, too, as of tomorrow, Shake.
Is it local or is
Three Rivers.
It's for next. It's for next year or the streak?
Yeah. August 2022.
Okay.
The airfield drag down in Three Rivers.
Now, Three Rivers is south of 131, ain't it?
Yeah. It's right down 94, just beyond Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Pawpaw, Three Rivers.
Yeah. In that area.
Yeah.
Now, what is this? Another street? Street event?
It's not an airport. It's
okay.
Airfield drags. And they're actually got, they're running down there again. And I guess there's three other airports they're working with to do four shows total this summer.
What?
So. Yeah. Like I said, I'll have more information tomorrow. The guy called me today and left a message, and he's going to call me back again tomorrow. So.
Okay, good. We can post that up on the show. I'd like to be there. I'm going to get it. Next year, I'm going to do a lot more traveling. Since the pandemic and everything, I kind of slowed down, but next year I'm going to open up and go through a lot more traveling. No prep is definitely in the equation. And East Coast. And if KO send me my wings, I might even go West Coast.
Yeah, well, I got some bad news about the West Coast for you, too.
Uh-oh.
That don't sound good.
Don't tell me it's 60
nope.
degrees. Don't tell me it's 60 degrees.
Got to turn the heater on, man. I got to turn the heater on to 74 just to talk to the
what?
Show, damn it.
Because I say 60 degrees?
You know what, man? You need to quit.
I can't even say
I'm coming out there because I ain't coming out there this cold. You know that.
Every time I say 60 degrees, I want to see them icicles form on your elbow.
Yeah. Hey, when you talk to Arch, did you talk to him about the race in Vegas?
I didn't cry, you know. First time talking to him, I didn't cry too much. He said he was there. First time I talked to him, just, that was an introduction. Just getting familiar with him. I didn't want to, you know, staple what went down. But, yeah, he is a cool guy. He says he's working on that Nova.
Yeah.
I think he's going twin turbo or turbo single or dual. I don't forget what he said. But he's going turbo.
Yeah, he'll have that thing flying shortly. It was a nitrous car. It's always been a nitrous car.
Yeah.
What's happening out here, Fontana? So it's supposed to be opening up in like February or January. Said they will not be opening the drag strip.
They won't?
Nope, because of that roundy round shit they got going on out there.
When you say that word, it just sounds funny, roundy round. Oh, boy, this weather just got everybody sleep. Because I'm sure I'm sleepy right now myself.
Well, what about this topic, man? Let's get this topic going.
Well, if y'all want to, you're more than welcome.
I don't like this topic.
Why?
Because I don't wear the multi-layered shit that I'm supposed to.
Oh, you don't wear it?
I wear a single layer, but I don't wear the quilted multi-five layer crap.
All right, let me just say this real quick. I don't know when it aired.
Hold on. Let me refresh the topic. Here tonight on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show, we've got a topic for y'all. What in the hell is a fire restraint suit for in racing, and why ain't these guys wearing them? That's the topic for tonight. Hit the one button if you have something you want to say about it. Big Mark. I better not say that again. But go ahead, Tail.
I don't know when it aired, but the guy from California that's on the Street Outlaws with the Corvette, I don't know if you guys saw what happened with him.
Oh, yeah.
His car caught on fire, something cut loose, and here's what happens. He gets a fire on the inside. His fire suppressor doesn't work. And he's got the car up against the left K-rail, and now he can't get out. So they finally got the fire out, but there was a lot of smoke from the fire in the car. So, you know,
smoke,
it's like...
smoke into it.
And his front wheel, his left wheel was off the car. I don't even know he could steer it. But, you know, it's like sitting in there. And this is the other reason why I hate 8th mile racing. is because when something like that happens, usually the quarter mile or something like that, you know, it's you roll a little further, take less time for the safety guys to come out and get you. When you're stuck in the middle of the track, they got to long haul it. And when you're on fire, it seems like forever. So that's why I'm not really big fan of 8th Mile. I mean, it's racing, and you know, and I'll do it, but I don't know. I think there should be an opening if they're going to run 8th Mile, and the fire or the safety crew sitting at that opening to come out. Because usually they're at the end of the track or the starting line. Either way, it's going to take the same amount of time to get there. But you know, as far as the fire suits, I want to speak on this on maybe on the grudge side. Because, see, when your car's going a certain amount of speeds, you've got to have a two-layer suit, three-layer suit, parachute, and for different speeds. Well, kind of letting them know that, hey, the car's going over 150 miles an hour, he's got a parachute, or he's going, you know, whatever the 8 mile calculation is. I don't know if it's 135 or, but, you know, it kind of tips your hat on what your car's running. So if somebody just comes out with jeans and tennis shoes and just a one layer thing, but his car's going 450s, well, that's kind of why. I think, my opinion.
Now, I've been to a track many times, and I'll get there and I see a guy to have on his racing jacket, a pair of blue jeans and gym shoes, no gloves.
Yeah.
Gets in the car, he go race. I've seen guys that didn't have a jacket had his jeans on, his racing pants, no shoes, no jacket. I've seen them get in the car with their racing shoes. No coat, no pants. Now, where do they feel like they don't have to wear the rest of the uniform? Now,
what's in the rules?
Is it certain speed, certain times you got to do where you got to have everything, as opposed to if you go slower, you can get away with this, that, and another?
Right. It's your ET and mile an hour in some cases when you're going faster. But you know when you're running at a track and you're using track rules, which are official NHRA rules, or should be anyway, you're supposed to wear long pants, you know, closed-toed shoes. You're not supposed to be in flip-flops. And a shirt, long sleeve shirt or short sleeve, if you're just like a streetcar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then it starts when you start getting in to certain times where things are required. So you're not really required a jacket till 11:49 in a quarter mile is when you kind of have that single layer, but you also have to have a roll bar too. So see, for like the 13-second cars, 13:50 cars, gotta have convertibles. What you know, they gotta have the roll bar and the seat belts in it. And then if your car's what was the other one?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but we was at a big drags race at 41, and I think it was one of Raylo's friends. No, was it Raylo or Round and Pound? They pulled up in an old school, I think it was a 75 Caprice. It was convertible. And he thought that he was going to get a chance to go down the track. with the convertible down, they made him pull it up.
Oh, yeah.
Even if he's got a roll cage in it, they still made him pull it up. And I assume that's safety.
Well, usually you need a funny car cage. You have to have your roll cage, but you have to have the funny car cage, the cage that goes around the driver.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to run with your convertible top down.
Mm. Okay, good to know.
Because that's what the roadsters do. The roadsters, you see a lot of Corvettes out there that had a detachable roof off their car. Well, they have to have that funny car cage. They have to be wrapped around, the bar wrapped
the
around
driver.
Them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my T-bucket, they wanted that. The roll bar just wouldn't work in my T-bucket when I had it. They said I had to put a full funny car cage in. I'm like, yeah, I'm not cutting this car up for that shit. No need. But, you know, that's kind of what you need. You need it when you're open like that. You got to be surrounded. Funny, on a motorcycle, you don't have nothing. And you can still go 200 mile an hour.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. So when it comes to the topic, if you're in a bracket race, you're going to get hit with these rules. But if you're in grudge race,
well, no. See, now here's the thing, though. Even at grudge racing, they still got to check the car. The problem is,
of course,
you don't know
of
how
course.
Fast the check. Car is because there's no time. So who's to say what you have to wear?
Mm-hmm. So would it be safe to say in a grudge racing, they should wear everything?
Yeah. I think that's where you especially want to wear everything because you take so much out of those cars. I mean, but you can't keep on safety.
Your phone sounds like it's breaking up, or like you're underwater every so often.
My phone?
Yeah. Can you hear it, Rich? Can you
hear me now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can hear you now, but yeah, it sounds like you're dropping your signals going in and out is what it sounds like.
It must be that weather in Michigan.
Hell no.
But I think that, you know, like I said, those cars out there running, you know, grudge racing, you know, they got to have all the big shit on them. You know what? The fire suits, the neck, the neck restraint, you know, they got to have stuff for the bell housing, your arm restraint, the flywheel shield. They got to have all that stuff, you know, and it's just like, well, if there's no times being showed, they can say, oh, well, my car only runs 13.
Well, you know,
the tower is where they have to catch them.
Well, you know, by this being grudge racing being an outlaw sport, I think they are kind of somewhat protected where they don't say too much. They don't really, I want to say, give a damn.
Well, I don't know so much it's that. Because I've had, I mean, there's, you go to some of these no time events, like the No Prep World, No Time, whatever. I go to a track to test, and I put the NT on my car. They don't look at a whole lot. But you go to some of these events where the guys know the cars and how fast they are. I've had a couple little things picked out on my car that I had to fix. I mean, they do some of it, and I don't think it's so much that the tracks don't care. It's that if they push it too much and require too much of these guys, then guys think they're giving away their times and they won't come to the track.
Well,
and I think that's what they're trying not to do.
Yeah, I agree. But I do also think that they really, to a degree, they don't care, because there's some guys out there that should have license as fast as they go, but they don't require it because it's outlaw. They don't enforce.
They don't know how fast they are.
Well,
Here's the catch behind that now. It's going to go back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jake. Mm-hmm. If you race by track rules, then you have to have all that stuff. Now, let's just say, for instance, there's a situation where I get out and you get out, you're hitting the wall all the way up, going all the way down, and you win in the race. Well, my protest is going to be like, well, you hit the wall. And they say, well, we're going to go by track rules. Okay, let's go by track rules. And they're going to say, well, no, he's good. Well, okay, well, that car's illegal because it doesn't have this, 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 and this. And now I'm going to DQ that car because if we're going by track rules.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Track rules. Listen. They're not going to scrutinize you for all the stuff that you got away with coming into it. We're talking
the defense, track rules are NHRA
the defense,
rules.
Listen. The defense was, the incident was, he crossed the center line, or he went on the out of bound area. Now, when it comes to track rules, does that qualify or not? Track is going to say no, he's disqualified. They're not gonna bring up my zipper stuck, or I got two different colored shoelaces. They're not gonna go through that. When we say track rule, if there's a problem, we go to the track and y'all rule it.
Right.
They mean by track rule.
So, now if the track rules are that, the guy who's hitting the car, hitting the guardrail, they say, nope, you lost. Well, the other car that now gets the win, I'm going to protest that car. Say, well, that car doesn't have that driver's not wearing this driving suit, or he doesn't have the restraint for going that fast.
Now, he doesn't have this and this. You can do that. You can protest in a class, right? But in grudge, right?
That
ain't going to fly.
If you are using track rules, you are using the track rules, which are NHRA rules.
What you fail to realize, we're not using all of them. We're just going with what.
Oh, no. I would disagree. I would be in a fight with somebody then. Yeah, you can't use part of the rules and say track rule.
Okay, then let me say something. Wait a minute. That situation that Clara came on and we talked about, these guys should have had license to run as fast as they do, but they didn't.
Right.
So if it was track rules would say, oh, y'all out of here. You just both disqualified. But that's not how that works.
Right.
When we say track rules, meaning when we have a problem, we'll go to the track and y'all settle it. Only on that defense, not on what color T-shirt I got on. It don't matter. It's only what's at stake when we have a defense, when we have an argument. Then we go track rules. You get it? Not because track rules apply to them. They're not going to pour over your head all the track rules because Witt and Six Mile had a problem. They just going, well, wait a minute, he crossed the center line. How did that work in track rules? Well, in track rules, we have to disqualify you because you can't cross the center line. You can't go out of bounds there. So when they say Tail Law, Rich Juan, then we pass the money that way.
And if Rich doesn't have a license to run, I'm going to protest that.
Ain't no protest.
Well,
and
he's right.
You cannot use rules, only part of them and not all of them. That's why
I am a huge
proponent of not using track rules.
Okay, Tail, hang on a minute. You're saying that this driver is saying there's an issue with this driver, so we're going to go ask driver B protest driver A because he hit the guardrail. Well, no, he hit the guardrail. B wins. Well, now A says, no, I won, and I'm going to protest B. So now they got to go so if one protest goes in and it's this rule and they rule on it, and then the other driver protests and it's a different rule, the track's got a rule on it. So Tao's
right. When you use that word protest, we protesting hitting the wall. We're not protesting the other guy doesn't have license.
No, you're right. In the beginning, this guy protested, this guy hit the wall. It doesn't go his way, so now he's going to protest something else. Now it has to be adjudged by the track. And if that doesn't go his way, then he can protest another rule. He can protest another rule.
Now, see, in class racing, you can protest. But when it comes to that grudge racing, no, it was who wins when you cross the center line? Tail or Rich?
What do they go by? And what do they go by?
Because, wait a minute, let me back you up, because we're still bringing this old stuff up, and I'm glad it keeps surfacing. Because what we got hit with, and I have to call some names, and I don't really care, but I ain't picking with nobody. When we got hit with that, Whit and Willie Dog said, oh, we go by grudge rules. Well, what the hell grudge? Is there a book somewhere in the library that says grudge rules? I've seen NHRA rules. Right. But they came up with this grudge rule, and we was like, man, we ain't never heard of no such a shit. Where that come from? And it was just something with Willie Dog and maybe a couple others only did. Everybody down south didn't do it. So that's why we was like, in all sports, if you cross the outer bound, center line, in football, basketball, hockey, you're disqualified. And we was assuming that's how it was there. But no, they sneaked in this grudge rule bullcrap and threw it on us, and Randy was went on and paid in sake of keep arguing.
But and that's
track,
why. That's
now ever since, now wait a minute. I meant to put this in there too. Ever since that bull crap went on, we argued that on my show, Larry's show, Eddie's show, all the people up north argued that stuff for years because we didn't feel it was right for y'all to come up with this grudge rule. And we come to your track. Come on in here, Unknown. When we come to your track, you supposed to let us know all of your rules. To 411 on what you got up your sleeve when I come to your track. If I come to your playground, your basketball court, tell me that the outer bounders is the bleachers so I know where to go, where to step at. But if you don't tell me this, then it's some bull crap in the game. So what we did after that mess, Lil Tony starts saying, okay, we're going to lock in this race. 1500 on 2000 or better, at such and such track, be in the speed lane by five, whatever, and track rules. He always put track rules at the end of it because we have the track decide on the final deal of that race if there's an argument. If two people are arguing, we let the track settle it. If Tao and I have a difference of opinion on who won, then we call track rules. That way the track will say, step in and say, okay, I feel like Tao won, Shake and Bake. You disqualified. All right. And we let the track handle it. So ever since that bullcrap that happened then, we have been saying, we have been adding track rules into it. In case it's an argument, the track will settle it. And I thought that was a real good idea because we didn't have no more problems with that ever since. You got it? Hello?
Me myself, I figure like this. A grudge race or pull your own puddle is come on up to the light. If I come to you, every one of y'all guys, and say, look, I want to run y'all. And y'all come up and say, look, I'll run you if you give me two or three calls. I said, well, look, I'm not giving you two or three. I ain't giving you that. It should be over. Or if y'all say, well, you know, I want the brake or I want the back tire or something. I mean, that's the most I think it can go with your own, pull your own puddle or grudge racing. Other than that, if I come to you and ask you for a race, let's get up to the line and run what you've run. You don't go pulling my hood off of my car. I don't pull your hood off of your car. You came to me looking for a race. Come on up there. Put your money up. Let's go and make the best man win. You lose tonight. Try to come back next week, next year, whatever it takes you to get back. And that's how I look at all of that. And then these calls are so fast right now to get back to your point, you know, what you was making earlier. I feel like this. People should put all the PPE on because everything happens in a second. And it's not like you meant to do anything wrong. It just happens so fast. And since things happen so fast and you never know when it's going to come, it's just like the wind. You don't know where it comes. You don't know where it ends up at. So you want to come out there prepared every time you go out there. Put all your stuff on that you know you need on. Because like I said, it's a split second. Anything can happen. I'm going to sit back for a second.
Anybody else got any comments?
Oh, I know there's certain shit that I should be doing, but it's all yours, Tail.
I'm just saying this. If you go by track rules, no matter what incident happens, there's that loophole. You just opened up Pandora's box, especially in a grudge race. Because some of those cars wouldn't even pass an NHRA tech. But with saying that, if I win the race or something happens, or somebody else wins the race, and their car's illegal, and I decide, well, you should go by track rules. That's why I prefer not to use track rules. Because using track rules opens up that NHRA rule book on everything. Track rules are track rules. If it's an NHRA sanctioned track, it's NHRA rules. And if you're going
now,
420s in your car, go ahead, Shay.
Now, maybe I should put you in the driver's seat. You're the driver. It's your car. You're going to race unknown. You're going to race unknown at Hattiesburg. Now, when you get down there and you and Unknown takes off, Unknown's car gets squiggly, 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 and he goes out of the boundary and slides all the way past the finish line. Tail, do you want to get paid or should Unknown get paid?
Well,
we ain't saying nothing about no track rules.
I'm saying
y'all had a race.
Right. Okay. If I feel that hitting the guardrail is out of bounds, I'm going to question it.
so far you did the same thing 6 Mile Randy did. Now, when you questioned it, Unknown said, hell no, you ain't getting no money back. This $4,000, I'm keeping it. You still questioning it. You crossed the out of bound line and then went across the finish line. How do you feel like you won, Unknown?
Well,
you about to lose $4,000. So how do you settle that situation?
That's where the argument starts. If he hit the wall, if he's hitting the wall, I'm going to question. He went out of bounds.
If we stipulated that from the beginning, that's all right. But if
no. It wasn't stipulated.
That's not what he said. They don't change the rules.
I know. Okay. I'm using the scenario that happened with Witt and 6 Mile Randy years ago with John Doe. The same scenario.
What if I turned my light on? If I did all that and my light came on, and go over in this lane.
No. We gonna keep the same scenario. We gonna keep the same scenario. Unknown.
Somebody got to get to the end first. Suppose I got to the end first. I did all that and got to the end first.
Wait a minute. We're using you and Tao as just the people racing. Hold on. You and him take off at the same time, but you get a little squiggly, and then you go across, you go in the out of bound area, and your car slid across the finish line. Tao is complaining about that, and because you said you won. That's how we do it in grudge rules. Tail got a complaint against that. So Tail's complaint is, no. When you cross the out of bounds, you can't win and whether you cross the finish line or whatever. You can't. Tail, how do you fix that? Y'all arguing back and forth because they showed a video. I wish I can find that video. They showed the video.
Yeah, I saw it.
And 6 Mile Randy was arguing and back and forth, and Witt was saying, oh, grudge rule. Oh, that's how we won. That grudge rule, that's how we do it down here.
Okay, my question would be, show me the rule. Show me where the rule that you have that says you can go out of bounds and still win the race. Show it to me. Because if you can't produce it, then you lose. That would have been
okay,
my take on it.
He didn't produce it. So Willie Dog is holding the money. So what do you do when he can't produce it?
Then I win. You got to show me the rules.
No. Witt says grudge rules. That's how we do it.
Who's racing? Witt racing? Or am I racing?
Yeah, you racing.
Who am I racing?
Willie Dog holding the money, and Willie Dog says the same thing Witt says. That's grudge rules. The DP
okay,
man
show
is
me the
holding
rule.
The money.
Show me the rule.
They couldn't present no rules.
Okay.
So how do I lose?
The argument went back and forth. You saying you won. Unknown saying he won. How do you settle
that? Okay, look here. Back and forth. We've been going back and forth. Y'all give me another minute. I've been listening all night long just about. Now, look, when grudge racing or pulling your own fella started in the street with all them little crooked roads and stuff like that we used to race on, how many times people have came over my other people's lane because it was grudge racing? There wasn't no rules. How many times a person left before the other person, and they called and went across in the other person's lane and went on side the street because the roads were so small and so crooked. So what I'm saying, people just done changed over the years, you know, changed the frame of everything. But real grudge races and stuff like that over the years, all that stuff went. If you remember when you was young and they raced on the street, it was all across the damn road. I'm gonna let y'all go.
Are we talking about the track? Are we talking about the track or the street? Because that's now we're going from track to street. We're not talking about the street. We're talking about the track.
We're talking about track. We're talking about the track.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
This happened at the track down south against Witt and Six Mile Rand, and they argued for years. And
I remember it.
Yeah. So how do you? I'm trying to get you to figure. What do you do? You arguing with unknown back and forth. It ain't settled. How do they settle it with Rich?
Well, don't bring me in on this shit because I ain't going.
Don't get scared
you know,
now.
You
come
know,
on. How
you
do
know
you
how
settle
you settle
it?
You know how you settle it? Either rerun the race, or give each other the money back.
Okay, that's an option.
To hand over my four grand on a rule that they say that's a rule. Okay, if it's a rule, let me see it so I know.
We found out everybody down south don't agree with that rule. Everybody
blame
did.
It on
right.
The referee. Blame it on the referee. Huh? You call a bad call. Blame it on the referee.
So
that's like a basketball game, baseball game, football game.
So
when a team loses by 1 point or something like that, blame it on the referee. Yep.
Okay. So you say either rerun the race
yep.
or give everybody money back. That's two things.
Yep.
The thing that they came up with, let's take it to the tower. And when they went up to the tower, everything went blank. We didn't see the results of that. But we found out that Six Mile Randy just went on and paid for the sake of argument. But when they got back, when they came home, it was an argument for years because the people up north felt like that was totally wrong. You cannot hit the wall and cross the finish line and expect to win. So we argued until we won the argument in court on these shows. Uncle Larry, Big Eddie, myself and a whole bunch of people up north felt like that was wrong. And they put up a good argument for years. Just them three. BT, Witt and Willie Dawg. They put up an argument for years. But eventually they left it alone. Because our argument up here was so strong. It was like every time they come at us with this, we even threw that at them, what you said, Tail. Show me the rule. Where is it written down at on a piece of paper or sketched in stone about these grudge rules? I never heard of no such thing as grudge rule. That was the first time I ever hearing the word grudge rule when they mentioned it then.
I
haven't
remember.
Seen
how can
it.
A grudge race have grudge rule?
Huh?
How can a grudge race have grudge rules?
Well, wait a minute. Now,
that's
see,
why I call
it one thing I don't – it's one thing that just thorns me in the side is when people say there's no rules in grudge racing. There's some rules. There is some rules, and then you make steps. Red light is a rule. If you red light, the other person gets to win. If you cross the center line, the other party wins. Those are rules that are just etched in stone. Now, we started adding steps to it because somebody said on the show a couple weeks ago that this grudge racing is tricky. You have to watch out for the other opponent because they are tricky. And that is so true. There's times where somebody will say something. Oh, prime example. Now, I don't know if y'all remember this, but I don't mind calling no name. Lil Will had a race with Donye. I think it was $2,000, something like that. I'm not quite 100% sure, $2,000. It was two on 2,000, something like that. I forgot exactly what the bet was. There was a bet between Lil Will and Donye. Donye went to, I think it was 131, did a test hit, and wrecked his car. Lil Will said, "Oh, I should get paid. You can't race me, so you forfeited it. I should get the punk out." Donye said the bet was 2 on 2,000. So what do that mean? $2? 2 cents?
200?
Oh! Yes! That's how the trick got into the bag.
Yeah, he's a smart. Yeah, he sure did. He sure did.
Oh, Lil Will was hot as a stop sign. Because in the grudge racing, when a person say something in it, and you assume it, he means 200 on 2,000 or better.
That's
not what he said. Oh, it got hot and that's how tricky stuff can get. So when there's tricks in the grudge game, track rules usually supersede and make things better. That's why Lil Tony, after that bull crap that happened then, Lil Tony started saying, "Okay, if we've got a problem, we'll do track rules. We'll let the track decide," because me and Tao and Unknown is just going to argue all night long. Wit and 6 Mile Randy was just going to argue all night long. So the best way to settle that track, what do you say? That's where that comes from.
And if the track says, well, the winner is going to be Unknown, and I'm like, okay, well, if we're doing track rules, you don't even have a funny car in the cage for a car going as fast as it's going, because I know how fast my car's going. And if I couldn't catch him, and now we're going to go by track rules. So you know what? Now he's disqualified, and I win.
Well,
that's why I don't want to use track rules.
You keep saying this, you don't want to use track rules, but track rules doesn't say that you have to go class race. We're still staying grudge racing, and there's no way you can sit there and say, "Well, okay, he don't have a funny car cage, or he don't have this." You can protest like that in class racing, but not in grudge racing.
Okay.
I disagree, and the reason why is because that. If you're going to, the minute you open the door for track rules, you're opening the door for all the track rules. You can't just pull one out.
No,
I don't know.
Because what happened was the incident at hand was crossing the out-of-bound line. So that's what we go to those track to solve. Just that. There's a million other different rules. But we just going
okay,
for
so
that.
Why should I listen to the track? Why should I listen to the track? The track is not going to pay your debt or my debt. They ain't going to pay you or me. Because they're not going to pay
you
for girls.
I can't hear you. I know. I can't hear you. Say it again.
I said, why should I go to the track for any information? Because they're not going to pay your debt or my debt, whether I won or I lost, or whether you won or you lost. The track is not going to pay.
They're not
going
to pay. No, they ain't going to pay the debt.
That's the first question
I
got for them.
They're not going to pay the debt, but they're going to say, based on that situation, you cannot go out of bounds. You're disqualified. Based off of that, they're not going to say, okay, Phil, you have to give Unknown the money. They're not going to get involved in that.
Right.
But they're going to say, based off of the incident at hand, Unknown crossed the line, pay Tail.
Yeah, okay.
That's how
I know one thing. Well, the first thing I want to know is you going to pay the debt one way or the other. Or was you holding the money?
Willie Dog was holding the money. Oh, you talking about with you and Tail?
We done bought another whole party in dealing with the money. That's my money and that's Tail money. So how should I
listen. Willie Dog went up there to the tower with him. He had the money in his hand. And waiting on the decision of the track. When the track says blah 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 win, then Willie Dog has to go according to that.
Well, they're gonna be in love with Tao and hate me. I could have had an argument with the track earlier.
No, listen. It ain't about love. It's about ruling. Track gotta be honest and go by what's in that book. If the book says you cannot cross the center and you cannot go out of bounds, we trust you.
So there you go. I trust the track quicker
than I would one of these grudge guys. There's a lot of these grudge guys out here that's really tripping.
Everybody tripping, you know, when it comes to that money.
But the tracks are usually fair.
But that's why, before you get involved in anything, make sure you know what you're saying, got yourself a witness, and know who your money hand goes. You're going to know that. That's where you don't have to go through all that crazy stuff. You know exactly where you bet. When you put your hand down in your pocket and pull it out, you know exactly where your money going at, and you're going to have a radar on your money, and you know the situation is going to be decent. And then, you know, you're going to look at the person, and you're going to understand that person going to understand, too. So, that's the main thing.
Now, I feel where you're coming from. Try to be sure about this. Try to cross all your T's and dot all your I's is what you're saying.
Yep.
But there's going to be situations that you can't. The unexpected is going to pop up at you. That was a very unexpected incident that day. For them to come out of the woodwork and say, grudge rules. We going by grudge rules. Well, see, they didn't tell us nothing about grudge rules from the beginning. That was the first time we heard grudge rules was when, when they lost.
I'm going back again, Chick. You should never put your hand in your pocket and pull something out that you work hard for or that's a part of you that you ain't already made the rules for that. So whatever that rule was made for that, that's what it's going to be. You can come up and say this, come up and say whatever you want. We already made the rules. I'm going to stipulate that too. When we make the rules, that's where it's at right there. Come up with something else later.
The last race that you had with whatever particular guy, did you write on a piece of paper every single rule that you're going to do with this particular guy? Did you?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what my last race was. I still remember.
I don't want to know what you did. I want to ask you, did you write down all the rules?
No, I didn't have to write down the rules.
You shouldn't
at
have all, to.
You're
going against what you just said.
The guy called me out. The guy called me. No, I'm not going against what I had to say. We scraped out whatever before I went in my pocket and got my money out. And my money was in whoever's hand. I know if I won the race, it was coming in my hand. And I know it's going to be fair. And like I said, I was called out, and we went up there and put up how much we're going to put up. And said this is how everything will go. And so that's how everything went. And the guy got whipped. And he was mad. He didn't like it because he thought I tricked him by putting some extra shots on my truck. But it was run what you run. That's what it was said. So I'm just trying to tell you, you make your laws, put everything in whoever hand that you know going to do right. So that's how that go, and that's how it happened. All you want.
Now, if you feel like this, that DP man is, because he's the one holding the money, is going to do right. Let's take, for instance, Melvin and Nikki Leon. Melvin, hold on. The money was put in Ken's hand. And Melvin felt like Ken was honest enough to hold the money. So he went on. I'm comparing that because you said make sure you put the money in somebody's hand that you know and you trust and that everything's gonna be okay. Well, we all assume that it's gonna be okay until that person changed.
Melvin did not trust Ken 100%. He couldn't have.
No. Okay, maybe not. Wait a minute. Wait. Maybe not. But he trusts him enough to continue the race.
Well, see, that's another problem. That's why I say that's another situation. I'm not going to do that. When I went in my pocket and put my money in this guy's hand, I was sure he going to make the right decision. Whether the other guy was racing me or not felt the same way, that was up to him. He didn't have to put his money in the guy's hand. We didn't even have to race. But like I say, he chose to do it, just like Melvin chose to do it. That's why I say it's another situation.
I'm going to go back to what I was saying.
I'm for sure who I put my money in.
I know. I got that part. But that person sometimes ain't gonna perform like we really want to. There's always that day where something comes up. And that's what happened with Witt and 6 Mile Randy. That particular day, nobody in the Midwest, meaning Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Ohio, would have even thought that this word grudge rules was going to pop up. Never even heard of it. Another trick bag came up and stung us.
Well,
but we want to the Midwest wants to race with the people down south so bad that we travel down there more than they travel up here. So we wanted to race so bad that we had to find another alternative to keep racing but not get screwed.
Well, Shane, listen to this.
Let's use track rules from that point on.
You're missing a point, Shane. You did a lot of stuff that you chose to do, whether it was going to come out right or come out wrong. Just like I said, once you say whatever you're going to say for what the race going to be or whatever, that's what it's going to be. It ain't going to be no more changes at the end of the racetrack. You ain't going to change horses in the middle of the sea. Somebody's going to drown. Whatever rule you make right there, that's what it is. I'm not going to the store and saying, look, I want a bottle of wine and going there and get a gallon of liquor and drink that. I'm getting drunk. So that's what I'm trying to say. That's the point we're missing. Whatever rules I always made in my life, that's what it was. You know, is that the rule? I've been on many racetracks. I bet many money. I loaned a lot of money out to people. I don't get a lot of stuff. Whatever the rules is, that is the rule.
Well, see, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand is everybody don't write down and dictate all the rules before the race. We got on these shows and we talked about it. We argue. We say, okay, we're gonna do this, that, and the other, and that's it. But we don't say, oh, if you don't stage properly, we don't say nothing like that. If you don't stage properly, you disqualify. We don't talk about that. It's just obvious that you're supposed to do the right thing. So how many rules do we write down and get it out the way before we get down there? None. We just talk about I'm going to race you, your car against mine, eighth of a mile, pro tree, and they get it on. But for them to come up with this grudge rule out of a sudden, unknown is what I'm saying, was totally wrong, and it was something that just popped up out of air. It wasn't even discussed.
It wasn't a lot of stuff.
If they had told us about grudge rules before leaving up north, going down there, we'd have had to go back to the round table and discuss this race. Wait a minute. What's grudge rules?
Now you know you got to clear yourself a little better. If I tell you I'm going to sell you a truck out here for $15,000 and let you drive 13 hours from Chicago out here, then when you get out of here, say, look, man, I need $45,000 for this truck. I mean, you didn't question me and ask me, I'm going to just only pay $15,000 for that truck. I don't have no $45,000. So you even drove to all them 13 hours for me to change on you? That's just like racing. I mean, once you get down the other end, how can somebody come and change on you?
Let me ask you a question. Let's go back to this Witt and 6 Mile Randy. Do you believe 6 Mile Randy was right or Witt was right?
Well, I don't know exactly what happened. I just heard that somebody crossed the center line or whatever and slid through the light or whatever. That's all I heard.
Okay, because that's the part I'm arguing. I'm arguing the fact that they came up with these grudge rules. That's all I'm arguing with. Where am I wrong in that?
I ain't saying you're wrong, but if you said that we can jump up and down as long as the first man crosses the other end down there, that's who wins. Because like I said, I'm an old grudge racer.
Okay,
when
so it seems like we're debating against each other, but you agree that Witt was wrong, and I agree that Witt was wrong. We're on the same team.
Well, I'm not debating against you, Witt. I said it seems like,
but do we agree that?
No, I listen.
You agree?
I gotta hear exactly how it happened, because like I said, it don't matter to me. If you jump up and down and stand on your head, as long as you get across the line first, it can be a race like that. It don't matter to me. It's just that I got to hear how the race is going to happen.
Me and you agree with that Witt lost that race.
Well, like I said, I don't know what was said.
Okay. So I was bringing up the subject of the matter about Witt and 6 Mile Randy years ago. It came down to the point that Witt was wrong. They lost. Although he got paid ahead of the time because 6 Mile Randy just went on to pay him to keep from arguing. Some people do that to keep the argument down, to keep from fights to jumping off. Some guys will just go ahead and squash it, pay the man. But it was an argument for years behind that paying the man. So,
but Taylor said it best. If you went back and re-ran the race over again since nobody came to agreement or, you know, they didn't have whatever they was talking about from the beginning straight, just ran the race over again. You didn't say what you meant Somebody didn't say what they meant. So somebody didn't understand what that next person meant. So if you understand that and the next person, you know, see that you understand that, just like KO says, run it over.
I remember the situation real at hand. Witt was not determined to run it again. After hitting the wall, he knows his car damaged. He don't want to race it no more. He don't want to run it back.
Mm-hmm.
After sliding, slipping, and going all crazy, no, he don't want to run it back. He was ready to get paid right then.
Yeah, but like I said, I try to listen very carefully. Even if I had to ask again, it's just like me going to McDonald's and getting something at the first. Wonder when I go, they want to get your money first. I ask them what you got to order for me. They run it back to me when I get up front. I go in the bag before I put out the window. See what I got in the bag. Because like I said, from that little distance right there, something will change. And I already know, you know, the way people think and the way people deal with situations. So cover myself. And to cover myself, keep my receipt, know what I said? This is my money in my pocket. So why should I give you my money for you to feed me what you want to feed me? It don't work like that. That's why I pay close attention to everything, listen to everything, and that's what I do. I don't try to make no argument out of nothing. You know, I can get back real quick and just don't say nothing. But I understand what's going on. And like I said, hey, man, a lot of stuff be going on, but it's going to be what you said it's going to be. You're not going there and they ain't going to, you know, change or something else on me. Once we done made a rule about whatever, if you want to call it that, then that's what that is. Once we get to the other end, if you straight, you get your money. If I'm straight, I'm getting my money. All that other stuff, I ain't got no more to say about it. You can think what you want to think about me, but I know I've done the right thing. Yeah. So that's how I look at life. Man, you ain't fighting and arguing with nobody. And if I see there's too much confusion, I get away from it. I ain't going to stay around there and get into a whole bunch of crazy confusion. It ain't worth it. Wreck my brain with a whole bunch of stupid, crazy stuff. No, no. It ain't going to work like that. And I can see people.
Well.
And just like. Just like
hold
right
on. We got somebody at the door. 773-3625. Who we got, caller? 773-3625. Your mic is open. Hello, caller. Your mic is open. Last four, 3625.
Last but least, I'm gonna say this. I go on these shows and I listen, and I know a lot of these guys' voices. You know, I would know them before I even, you know, get a chance to race them. I don't know if I'm gonna ever race again, but I like to travel and I like to go places too. And when I go places, some of these guys, man, I'm not even going to try to get involved with them as far as racing. Whether I can beat them and get their money or whatever, it's not even worth it. I don't need your money that bad. Because, I mean,
okay,
you're going to make a miserable day for me, and I don't need a miserable day for no crazy stuff. So the money ain't no good to me. When I got to buy a whole bunch of athletes and Anderson, so I just go ahead and stay away from person.
Let me get this other caller here. 773. Huh?
Do your thing.
773. I'm not gonna say it's this big mark. 0537. Your mic is open.
Shake, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Who is this?
That's a good one. I like that.
What's up, Big Mark?
I like that. Everything's good, man. Everything is good.
I thought you was disguising on me again.
Oh, no. I never that.
What's up, Big Mark?
Not much, man. I was tuning in, trying to see what's going on, man. Did y'all have a subject tonight, or were y'all just...
Yeah. Yeah, we had a topic for tonight. And the topic was, what the hell is a fire restraint for racers? And why they not wearing them?
That'll be an interesting subject. Yeah, and that is a good question. What did we come up with?
Why is the fire restraint? What the hell is a fire restraint suit for, Big Mark? What is it for? I'm playing devil's advocate. What is it for?
It's to protect you in case of a fire.
What? You said to do what?
To protect you, give you some time to give you some minutes or to do what you need to do to get the hell out of there.
Oh, so it's protecting me.
The car too.
That fire suit is to protect my black ass. I can say that, Rick.
Oh, okay.
It's protect my black ass. That's what the fire restraint suit is for, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it's going to protect me from first, second, third degree burns. Am I correct?
It's supposed to. It's supposed
yeah.
to It's supposed to contain the fire on the, in the inside of the car, all of that.
So this ain't no trick question, Big Mark. I'm just playing the devil's advocate,
right,
bringing, making, getting y'all to talk. So if it's supposed to protect me from first, second, and third degree burn, why in the hell some of these guys don't wear their uniform?
Hey, you know, it can be a lot of different things. Main reason would probably be temperature. Sitting in them cars and staging, and that, and with that stuff on, man, you're liable to burn up. Period.
You should have said that. It's hotter in Southern California with Tao and his Vega. So you mean to tell me he gonna sit in that race car and melt? So is that why he don't wear all his uniform? Yet? What's the temperature, Tao?
Right now?
No, not now.
It's cold.
Right now, it's 60 degrees.
What's happening? Chill again, man.
But
freezing out.
So Tao, when you're sitting in the car and it's hot as hell in California, and you're in the staging lane, do you neglect wearing your gear?
No, I can't. I don't have that option. I gotta suck it up and leave it on. And I might unzip it when I'm in the staging lane to get some air going in. But no, I'm stuck wearing it.
But Big Mark says some people don't like it because it's hot as hell. They refuse to wear it because it's hot. Which I agree. Some people do. There's no right or wrong answer.
It might be 90 degrees outside when you're wearing it, but if you catch on fire, I promise you, you're going to be begging for that 90 degrees.
Amen. So, but it seems like grudge races, street races seem to be lackadaisy when it comes to the safety. Because when you go to a class race, they be on you about your restraints, certain safety, and I see them all suited up. You ain't gonna catch none of them without having their safety restraint. But when it comes to grudge racing and street racing, you'll see the people Mark talking about that ain't got the jacket on, ain't got his gloves on, until that sucker gets burnt, until that 100-something degrees get to his ass.
You know, I found on them hot summer days that my fire pants are cooler to wear than a pair of blue jeans.
And is that because of the insulation of the restraint keeps your body at a constant temperature?
I don't know what it is, but I mean, you take them out of the trailer and they're nice and cool, and you put them on, they're cooler to wear than blue jeans that's been out in the sun all day.
I'm going to open up this mic again because he didn't say nothing earlier. Baby boy, your mic is open. You still there? I'm off mute. Baby boy. I know that number now, but he ain't saying nothing. I'm going to go back on mute. I'll open you back up a little later. So you say it did get kind of testy one day for you, huh, Rich?
Well, like I said, I wear a fire suit. I wear my shoes, I wear a fire suit, I wear a neck collar, I wear a helmet. Even if I'm out testing by myself, I put that stuff on. Because you never know when the hell it's going to go wrong. But do I wear a 5-layer one? like some people would think I would need, but no. But I do wear a fire suit and everything else.
Okay. So you wear, you participate, but you look, you scrutinize the degree of the uniform wrapped around your butt.
I wear all the safety stuff. I've got more cage in my car than I probably need, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
Without giving times out. But, I mean, it's all about coming home. I mean,
yep.
Anybody that does this shit that doesn't have, I mean, these guys, I watch these guys in the G-Body shootout out to Onondaga. They're not quite fast enough to run with the small tire guys, but they're way faster than a hard tire car. And they don't have any cage of any kind in their street car. So they're out there in a T-shirt and a pair of pants with a helmet on.
Taking a chance.
And no cage, no nothing.
Taking a chance.
Big time.
Brother Unknown.
Yes, sir.
Can you think of another reason why people don't wear their full gear when they're supposed to?
Like I said, it takes that little 1 second, and people don't want to take that little 1 second. The only thing they want to do is get there and do whatever they got to do, and then sometimes they've been doing it for so long, but since they've been doing it so long, they don't think nothing's going to happen. And things like that happening are so much of a quick split second. If you know how fast that your life could be gone or how much damage you could do to yourself in that split second, then maybe a lot of people would think about putting it on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For those that just come on and don't know, the topic of the show was what in the hell is a fire-resistant suit for in racing, and why aren't these guys wearing it when they go racing? Now, there's another thing that I don't think we touched on, why people don't wear these suits. Maybe it's because of money. You think money might be one big mark?
Possible.
But if
you're going that fast, like Tao was saying, and your car set up like that, man, and you're supposed to have it on, I don't know. It seems like you should be caught up at tech or caught up at the starting line somewhere, or it should be somebody right there making sure you have it. You shouldn't. I don't think you should be allowed to race if you don't have it on.
Okay. Good report. Good report.
But all that stuff is based on how fast you are, and we're all no-time cars. So how fast are you to know what you got to require?
Now, that's what I was about to get to, because knowing the rules.
I think that's part of the reason some people don't do it. If I show up and I've got a full funny car cage in my car, and I've got a multi-layered suit like a Top Fuel funny car driver would wear, and all their restraints, that means my car is that fast and I'm required to have it. So now everybody knows about how fast my car is.
Knowing what you're supposed to have and the requirements is a big plus. Brother Kid, you got a comment?
Yeah, I beg to differ. And my comment is the majority of your drivers think they're Superman.
They think they're Superman.
They don't need to wear no restraints and all that kind of shit.
Until that fire hit that ass, then they go from Superman to a Mickey Mouse, huh?
Right.
So would that classify as stupidity?
Oh yeah.
Stupidity
and ego tripping.
Yeah. I can see that, because as many tracks I go to, I go there and I sit back and watch guys get in their car, and I look at them and say, he got on gym shoes and a jacket and got on pants.
Short pants, T-shirt.
Yeah.
They think
they're
Superman.
So all the stuff y'all mentioned is 100% right. Every last one of you. They think they're Superman. They don't have enough money to buy the safety.
It's not the money. It's not the money. Because if you got money to goddamn it go racing, you should have money to goddamn it buy your safety equipment.
Yeah, but that stupidity kick in and stop them from buying. They don't want to spend that little money. They want to have the betting money, but they don't want to have the safety money.
Yeah, well,
safety money should have came before they even went to the track.
I ain't never seen a dead man bet.
You know what else that we're not thinking about, Shaq?
Give me something.
What up, Tao?
What's going on, kid?
Shit, nothing much.
This part right here. Some people say, and I don't know this to be true or not true, but when Dale Earnhardt Sr. got into his car accident, some say because the race was done, he actually unbuckled the seatbelt, and that's when he went into the wall. His face hit the steering wheel. Now, can't confirm or deny that, but I do know Bill Simpson had to go to court because they were trying to say his seatbelts failed.
That's
and
because
I'm
Dale
sure we
modified
all use
it.
Simpson belt. Yeah, could be. You know, they were saying so many things, but some people said he unbuckled. You know, the race was done. All he's got to get through is turn four, and it's, you know, it's a done deal. And so, I mean, that's something I'll never know. But, you know, it's something to think about.
He never saw the finish line.
You know, but how many times is us on here, and from the people I'm listening to, we all wear the safety gear. We all wear our belts. We all do our shit. But how many times has any one of us unbuckled or started pulling your helmet off before you're all the way off the track?
Yep.
I'll be honest. I unbuckle.
I pull the helmet off.
Yep, I pull my chute, and as soon as the car slows down just before the turn, 90% of the time, I got my helmet laying in the passenger seat already.
Me too.
And it's something that you don't know where that other guy's at because if you win the race, he's behind you. You don't know if he's got problems or not. You unbuckle, take your helmet and shit off, and then he plows into your ass.
Oh, good report.
I mean, they all fucking do it.
Tao, do you remember Lee Sheppard, Pro Stock Lee Sheppard?
I sure absolutely do.
You know how he got killed, don't you?
Yeah.
Testing tires, and didn't have a seatbelt and shit on.
I don't know if you know a guy named out here. He used to do the drag boat. He was the guy who invented the capsule. His name was, it'll come to me in a second, but he was, he died in his own invention. And this is all he was doing. He was taking test hits in the boat, didn't have his regulator on in the capsule.
Yep.
And the boat jumped in the air, and he was in a pickle fork, and it landed, and the corner caught the water and flipped the boat over upside down, and he drowned. He drowned in his own invention that was supposed to save lives.
Yep.
How do you like that? Denver, what's his name? Denver something. I can't think of what his name was. But, yeah, he died in his own invention. And his own invention, believe it or not, has saved a lot of lives with that capsule because that capsule separates from the boat. You have your regulator on. You have an oxygen bottle. So you're underwater, but you're breathing until they hook up to the capsule and yank you up.
Yep.
And he died in his own invention from his own mistake because he should have had his stuff on. So, yeah, it can happen. Be ready for it.
Yep. The slightest accident can kill you.
Well, you know, and I say that earlier, I made the comment that if I'm out testing by myself, I wear all my shit, and I didn't used to. My son's the one that makes sure that happens now.
1 second.
The last thing we did this last summer, I had my pants, my outfit on. I put my belt on. Yeah, I put my belt on. I didn't wasn't going to put my helmet on, and my son walked in front of my car and stood there until I got my helmet on.
Because
I wasn't planning on making a full hit, so I wasn't that worried about it, but he was. Yep.
Yeah, 1 second.
So
yeah.
That's why I'm sure that with him driving the hard tire car next year, I got to buy all new suits and shit for him because I'm sure he's going to want them.
There's no joke. Don't know what hit you.
No, you know what? If shit can happen, it's going to happen when you least expect it. Be ready.
It's like lightning. That's how fast it is. Yeah.
They have rules for a reason.
Well, and that's something that they preach to us at work. And it's the same way with this drag racing stuff and the NHRA rule book. Every single rule in that rule book is wrote in blood. It ain't there just because. It's there because somebody got hurt or died.
Yep.
Right. And that's when they came up with a rule. Brent, your mic is open.
What's up?
Or should I say, First Lady, your mic is open.
What's going on, buddy?
What up, man?
not much. What's up, guys?
Just chilling.
Not too much. Not too much.
We got this topic going on, Brent. You've been listening long enough, or you want to update on what's going on?
I seen you posted something, but yeah, you can. I seen you as talking about fighter suit or something, right?
I posted on the thing that what the hell is we got a fire restraint for? I know I said what the hell is a fire restraint for? And why doesn't people wear them when they race their car?
Right.
Why, Rick? Why, Brent? Why? What is the safety gear for? What is it actually for?
Well, all I know is I spend a lot of money for it, and when I get in my car, it goes on.
Well, what is it for, Brent? Or should I say, First Lady, what is it for? Huh?
Safety.
Safety for who?
For the driver.
Thank you. Exactly what we mentioned earlier. Safety for the driver. Now, why do we go to the track and there's guys that don't have their gear on? They missing a piece. Huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that goes right along with the diaper underneath the car. You know? I mean, that's all part of it, you know. I mean, my buddy told me, he said, dude, you don't want that engine to come loose and you catching that oil or antifreeze or something like that. Or not antifreeze, but water, you know. You know, your water, you don't want it. And so, yeah. No, I bought all that stuff, man. I'll tell you what, sometimes, a couple times this last year, I was like, man, do I need, you know, and it's like, yep, put it on, put it, you know. I decided I'm wearing my pants, what I bought, you know, because you might get in there and think that you're just going to, I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just don't know. So
well, maybe the question that we're asking is the wrong question. Maybe it's the wrong question that we're asking, Shake. Not why don't they wear it. Why is the track not letting them wear it?
Right.
Now that
exactly.
That's not the wrong question. That's a totally different. That's another topic all of itself. Yeah. Why the track don't enforce it?
Well, I was told when I went to track with a good friend of mine, he's like, when you, we're going to go down to Tech, because, you know, I'd race years ago, but, you know, I had a street car. You know, it was only 11-second car, and I didn't go, I didn't even need all that stuff, you know. And so now I'm going a little faster, and he's like, put all your gear in the car and everything when we go down and see Tech, because, you know, at some races, they check all that stuff out, you know.
Some,
I mean, your jacket
do.
And all that stuff, so...
Onondaga's the only one I've seen that hasn't.
Right. Well, I, a lot of them don't. My Mark or Mylan didn't either. Whenever we went up there, they never checked. They don't that no time. But anyway, you know. But yeah, definitely, I'm gonna have that stuff whether they're checking it or not. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Now somebody mentioned earlier that some tracks don't scrutinize because they want that particular race game there. If it's a grudge race coming to your town, to your track, and they know these guys ain't got license, ain't got the full protective stuff in their car, ain't got the proper roll cage, ain't got all the bars, but they know that grudge race brings in a bunch of spectators. So they're going to overlook some of those rules. Do y'all agree?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. why the track ain't enforcing it, Tao?
Well,
I have to say that would be one of them.
Money.
And this is, well, that's part of it, but like you just said, the track's wanting the money. But every one of the rules in the rule book are based on time.
Blood. On time
if
or
you
blood?
Don't have a time on your car because nobody puts a clock on it, they don't know where you fall and what's required. Well, and we all know where our cars are at, and we all should be smart enough to use what we're supposed to use. But that's why a track at a no-time event can't enforce anything because they don't know. You got a 9-second car, you got an 8-second car, you got a 12-second car. It's a no-time car. What rules do they enforce on it?
Kind of makes sense. I know what you're saying there. That sound, you know.
But like a couple of them, Rich, they said that you had to have diapers. They wasn't even going to let you run, what I read in some of them articles, you know, on Facebook or wherever last year with some of these promoters having these races. And,
well,
you know, I got
not...
one.
But that's not for a safety thing. That's so if you blow up, they're not dumping oil on the track because it's a no-prep surface. They don't have anything to clean it. They don't give a shit how fast you're going or a safety thing. It's because they don't have a way to clean it up.
Right. But well,
that's why the promoters are doing it.
Right. Well,
what's the saying then all y'all guys, like, don't get caught sitting on your seatbelt, didn't it? Wasn't that a saying one time before? Y'all ever heard that before?
Say it again.
Don't
any
get
kind
caught.
Of car. With any kind of car, don't get caught sitting on your seatbelt.
Oh.
That means
I've
don't have it hooked around you. You heard it?
I've heard it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the same thing applies, you know. Don't get caught without your gear on. That 1 second, man, I tell you, you ain't fast enough to do anything to recover. It ain't something you mean. That's something else that's going to come. Ain't nothing you can do. I mean, it happens so quick, ain't a thing you can do.
That's true. Baby boy, your mic
nothing.
Is open. One more time. Baby boy.
I was on the other line. I was hearing what y'all was saying. With
no problem. Days. How you been?
I've been okay. How are you, Shay?
I'm tired and sleepy. I'm about to let y'all continue, and I'm about to knock out.
You ain't eat a whole turkey for Thanksgiving, did
you? I left ham alone. I'm trying to back off for
turkey.
the red meat.
I didn't call ham. I called turkey.
Well, I had to throw something in there to distract you, man. I can't cut all of it loose, baby boy. I can't cut it loose. It's hard to quit, baby boy.
You know you my man, Shake. You know you my man. Now, I just want to imply what you said as far as, you know, them rules and stuff like that, as far as, like,
Come on with it. Come on with
rules
it.
Rules and stuff like that. And I was just listening to Unknown. He was telling you some real stuff, because somebody can flip something if you don't stip it like you're supposed to with a gamble. I don't know if mm-hmm. you're a gambler like that. Most dudes that actually grudge race, they are gamblers. Dudes that's mm-hmm. been in the streets and stuff like that. So they'll have a stipulation with their gamble, with their money. You feel what I'm saying? So I just feel like you got to watch what people say, because if you don't, you'll get, good God almighty, he knocked him out.
Right.
You'll get yourself caught up in a war win, and then, you know, bro, Unknown, you ready to humbug, they ready to humbug too, because you didn't listen to what the gamble was. The gamble was 2 on 15. 2 on 15 could be $2 on $15. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
You say $200 on $1,500, then you can understand that more so than you saying 2 on 15.
Yep.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's a lot of guys that what they try to do, they have, that's the gray area, quote unquote. That's the gray area,
right,
where they can get out, gamble, or get out the bet. You feel what I'm saying? Because they probably don't like the bet. But
mm-hmm.
if you're a fair gambler, and you got another party that's fair gambling, guess what? You can have some fun with it.
Because mm-hmm.
I've been around drag racing ever since I was a baby, and I'm 43 years old.
Hey, I got one for y'all. Now, I learned this from my boy. Are y'all listening? We all at the track, Buds Creek, every last body, person on this phone, even you, First Lady. We at the track, Buds Creek, right at the starting line. We sitting on the wall, all of us on one side of the wall. I says to, Rich. Rich, we all sitting on this one wall, me, you, First Lady, Brent, Tail, Kid, all of them. I say, Rich, I'll race you to the other side of this wall right now, $500. I'll race you to that other wall, the other side where we're standing at. You said, bet. Now, me and you get ready to take off. We sitting on the wall. We standing up. And Teo drops his hand down. You take off. I take off. I take off 2 steps and turn around and come back. You went all the way to the wall. Do you expect to get paid?
Was a step over the wall, so you were on the other side of it.
Nope.
They're going
all
across the track.
This is what it was.
Get him, baby boy.
He never said he was going to beat you to the wall. He said he was going to race you. That's what he fucked up at.
I learned that
listen
from
what
track.
People say.
Yep. And you have to watch what people say. I didn't say I'll beat you. I said I'll race you to the other wall. I ain't say I was going to win, so when I took off, I took 2 steps, turned around, and came back. You do not get paid. You have to watch what they say, because when Lil Will and Donye got into that 2 on 1,500, I was like, ah, damn, I know Lil Will's sick. He was expecting to get that $200. But Donye said, hey, it could be $2, 2 cents. $200 or whatever. You have to watch the tricks in the game. And, man, It's a few of them out there, bro. It's a few of them out there.
And all that right there that you're talking about is why you will never see me with any of my cars at any grudge race. Because I don't play games. I go to shootouts, not grudge races.
Well, that's a, you racing smart, big dog, because you racing fair, and you want to be fairly played with your car and your life. You feel what I'm saying? But you got some dudes that don't, like I said, you got most dudes
that gamble.
Gamblers. They gamblers, and you got to understand that if you don't want to be a part of that, which is fine, I get it. But the thing is, if you want a part of that grudge racing scene, you got all the tricks in the trade in it.
Mm-hmm.
All the tricks in the trade. That's the streets coming to the track trying to be professional. So that's the reason they don't have a lot of safety shit in their cars. It's because they trying to trick someone out of their money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever saw a car that you can drive to the track and the car just driving to the track and everything else, you take the street tires off and put his boots on and turn around and knock a number off and put his regular tires back on and go on out the gate of the where he has come from? Yeah, we saw that trickery.
At one time, you would have never thought that would happen. Somebody got paid off, or you not thinking that?
This is a solution to everything. If you go there and you don't understand what's happening, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't even get involved in it. That's how I look at it. If I don't understand something, I either sit there and listen some more, or I just don't get involved in it. I'm not going to set myself up trying to be a big shot or try to be somebody and don't understand what's going on here, I'm going to leave it alone. It looks
I got one to go with that unknown. If you get into the game and you realize you've been tricked, been had, say, oh, well, I've just been had. You can't get mad. You just been had.
Yeah. But the best don't even mess with it. That's why you don't see a whole lot of racing these days. Because a lot of people fed up with a whole bunch of crap. That's why a lot of people, you know, get into certain races and people stay in their corners and you wonder why, you know, people stay to themselves. Man, people don't have enough of that crazy stuff. And you can't blame them. I don't blame them. I ain't going to mess with it. I'm going to leave it alone. Yep. I ain't going to mess with it.
What'd you say? Stay in your lane?
Yeah, it ain't worth it. The big picture is not worth it. Not even worth it.
Hey, bro, unknown. Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Do you like going to the track? I understand. I know you like going to the track for racing, but what type of racing did you actually really, you know, draw yourself to? Is it more a shootout race or a grudge race where they talk smack? Or they just set the cars up for each one. They pulling out the hat or whatever you have to do, whatever they do at a shootout race. Well, I don't really like that, but I'm asking you.
Okay, well, I had a drag truck, and so I love the street race. And so a couple of people got killed out here. I got off the street, and I started going to the track more. So I like the asphalt track, but I like all racing. I even like the circle dirt track. I like every race out there, horse races. I don't care what it is.
So you basically saying you like all racing, but what attracts you to the track is a grudge race more so than a shootout. Just say a shootout.
A grudge race,
right?
Yeah.
It's more exciting, right? You just don't like the.
I stay in my corner, though. Now, y'all go
all
day.
I get that. You just don't like the BS. That's why I was trying to get to. You want a fair race, right?
Yeah, all that name calling and all that stuff. I ain't into all that.
Right,
I still in my corner.
I get that. I get all that. But sometimes people, when you messing with people off the street, and they bring it to the track, they try to get up under your skin to make sure you go red or wreck your car or lose. You can actually have a faster car. Oh, no. You can actually have a faster car.
Well,
and you got to do like cowboy at the door talking crazy to you.
Well, see, I understand all that right there. So that's why if I would go to a race and if I was in the race, those type of people, I would have my own little group to go over there and deal with them because I ain't got time for that. All they knew it is a bunch of crap. Only thing I want to see that light go down. When that light moves, I want to go ahead and hit the accelerator and let that button go. That's all I want to do. All that other stuff they're talking, man, I never did pay that into mind. I was an operator in my life, operating heavy equipment, drive tracking trailers, you know, and do all the sports, play all sports. So a lot of stuff, man, I ain't even pay no attention to. They can run them off all they want. I get a crowd for that, let another crowd go ahead and deal with that. I go there and fill a cooler up full of drinks and let the guys sit there and get their head bed. And when they're out there acting crazy, I send them over there on them. Get them pit bulls. Yep. No, I ain't that man. That stuff right there. You got to use reverse psychology with everything that goes on out there. You got to have game yourself, you know. If you're into that, that's what you. I'm street smart and book smart, so do it the way you want it. Yep. You know, life's gonna be what it's gonna be, man. You know, you gotta look at the big picture of everything. A lot of people look at all the little small stuff and blame people and all that. See, I don't blame people neither. You know, people are people. They are who they are. You know, I just step my game up. Yep. You still there?
I feel you, man, but ain't nothing like that world's racing when you got two guys that's really out for one another, and they got a good competition with one another, and it's clean. Oh Lord, mm-hmm. You'd love to see that. You'd love to see it.
It's the highlight. It's the highlight.
Yeah, it's a highlight. Because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Don Schumacher and John Force they side bet each other. I'm pretty sure they do. But it's not the trash talking we see. It's probably trash talking in the campers or wherever the heck they at. But you know, we don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more exciting if you see Witt talking crazy to Donye or 6 Mile Randy talking crap to Phil Shuler. You know what I'm saying? So it's more exciting than, you know what I'm saying, that aspect.
It takes
this
us to
a place
another
and a time for everything.
Yeah.
This is a place and a time for everything. You know, place and time.
John Force and them guys, they're going to keep a professional attire by themselves.
There you go.
But yeah, I bet you when they get in the trailer, John gonna be cussing and can't on say, I told you mother, you couldn't
place the time.
You couldn't F with me. Yeah. And they keep a professional attention about themselves.
John Force will cuss a motherfucker out on camera. He don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So, but when it comes to the grudge world that we know out here, ain't no holding back. It's all out in the open. They get it on. They say what they say. They do what they do. And if they trick you, oh, well, you just got had. Give me my money.
But you know, the grudge world out here now, let me have it flow for a minute here. The grudge world out here now is more provoking each other. You know, why would you sit there and keep on saying things to people where, you know, sooner or later, somebody ain't going to take it. They're going to want to see you somewhere, you know what I mean, and want to change things around. So why would you keep on using provoking things towards somebody you deal with every day? You know, that's the only thing I see that got all this messed up, provoking people, each other.
I got your answer. You remember 2 weeks, a month, 6 months ago, or six weeks ago, you always say,
you look at the big picture. Well, I'm pretty sure John Forrest and his protege, they look at the big picture. They know good and well if they come on this show and start talking about, oh, you ain't blankety blank, you ain't this, I'm going to beat you up blankety blank, and keep poking at a person, they know the big picture is going to be a fight or a shoot or a shootout. And that's what we're heading into in this grudge world today. When the person keeps poking at you and poking at you, it's going to be a fight. Then after a fight comes, pulling the trigger.
But look at what you're saying.
The poking goes too far. Because we've seen where it got to talking about somebody's mama, kids, children.
Yep.
We've seen fights at the track. Somebody got killed last year. These things will come about when you have an uncontrolled atmosphere. And when a person, his own self is uncontrolled, this is what you get.
Yep.
Death.
Yeah, man, I tell you, say it. I mean, we do that, you know, to each other, you know.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. When you said somebody keep poking with you, just like I was at 41, and this guy named Baby Boy came up to me snatching food out my plate and just kept on stealing my cake and my shrimps and my ham that Big Mark gave me. He just kept poking with me. So I balled my fist up, and he took off running. Y'all know who he is.
Shake and fake, who you talking about, man? I don't know who I'm talking about, man. I don't know who you is. That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, Shake, that wasn't him. That was Vienna corn beef. Yeah, Vienna corn beef. He's trying to take my Vienna corn beef.
He kept poking with me, man.
You trying to give me a whole damn honey, Miller. I can't eat all of them whole honeydew millions. I can't eat all. I ate half of it. You trying
but
to
it was
eat
good,
that.
Though, baby.
Yeah,
boy,
look
good.
At Carmelo. Look at Carmelo Anthony with that pink hat on.
Yeah, I see him. We watching the fight over around here, Shake.
Hey, Skin.
Yeah, come on with it, Shake.
What the hell wrong with you? Talking about some Carmelo Anthony while we talking about some food.
Because y'all ain't talking about shit.
food is everything. You talking about some Carmelo.
Man,
Carmelo
we food every motherfucking day. I'm tired of food, goddammit.
Well, let me
I just can't
plate.
Stop eating it because I got to live.
You ain't tired of
it.
You ain't tired. What
I'm
up
tired
with you,
right,
boy?
I'm tired of food. Oh, shit, just chilling. I'm tired of eating the same thing over and over. I'm sick of this shit.
Go to Terrio and get some of the chicken. Terrio cooks some good chicken, they tell me.
Oh, I had some before. It's a pork chop. You taste the pork chop, fried pork chop.
Is pork chop good?
Yeah.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. Fried pork chop,
goddamn.
Big Mark
hey,
got
Shorty.
Me cooked on that.
Hey, Shorty.
On that doggone.
That old long star girl, he putting that metal on him now.
Hey, man, didn't Shaggy May tell you don't be talking about that motherfucking shit while he talking
right,
about food
on
the show?
Thank
okay,
you.
I'm sorry.
You just made somebody jump off the show talking about that Carmelo Anthony. God
Your show better than the other show that come on Sunday.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
I'm going on mute.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Shake, you got the best show Sunday.
I'll
be looking forward
you,
to coming on your show.
Thank you, bro, baby boy. You my editor. All right. Y'all just don't realize Shake and Bake sitting here nodding at the damn show. I'm going to let y'all stay on, and y'all, or I might just go ahead and close it out, what y'all want to do.
That's because you ate too much goddamn food. That's why you nodding.
Hey, I'm still eating on this shrimp. Man, they got damn shrimps. They got some shrimp here about the size of my fist. I can't eat all that.
Why you not,
shit, man? I know. You thought I was gonna say something different?
Better not. You know that food make you sleepy.
They call it itis, man. They call it itis.
Yeah,
that
nigga itis.
So, Brother Unknown.
Yes, sir.
Brother
Unknown.
Yes, Dick Mark. Kid, baby boy, Brent.
Yay.
Rich. Y'all ready to get up out of here and let me go to sleep?
Yep.
Yep. Well, that's what you want to do now. You got to go to sleep. You got to get some sleep. Or you're going to get up. You need your beauty sleep.
No, I ain't ready to go off. Hell no. Take your ass to sleep and leave the show off.
You need your beauty sleep now. You need your beauty sleep.
Yeah. I need my beauty sleep.
He's the other side of the sun gone. If he needs some beauty sleep, he ain't getting too much rest.
Hey, I've been going to bed late for a lot of years, goddamn.
Hey, Shake, that tapeworm you got must be fooled too, goddamn.
Man. Hey, Big Mark, how you know I had tapeworms when I was little?
Hey, man, hey. The way you put some food down and don't gain a pound, you ain't swollen like I am, man. You got help. You got help in there.
Big Mark, you need to quit it. Goddamn tapeworms won't go away. They whispering in my ear talking about, feed me, feed me, feed me.
Man, you know, I did catch up with Chef Lee and for the holidays, and I got a couple sweet potato pies and one of them pound cakes.
Oh, man. I don't want to hear. What my sweet potato pie? You've been promised me for 2 years.
Hey, man, the last time you came, he ran out. Hey, but you just got to let me know ahead of time so I can let him know. You know, he don't have no problem cooking.
I know, man.
I set them pies down there for Thanksgiving. I was lucky to get a piece out of one of them. And that pound cake was so moist and good, man. It was crazy.
Now, I haven't had the pound cake, but the sweet potato pie, I bought two of them from Chef Lee. And, dog, both of them didn't make it back to Detroit.
Yeah, man. You killed one in the stands, remember? When you walked up to me, you was finishing off the first one. And then you had the second one. You brought it and set it on the dash. Now we both in the car, and this thing smelling on the dash.
We looking at each other's side eye. You better not touch it.
You're like, I'm taking it home. Then about 5 minutes later, we took it home. All right.
Life. Yeah, dog, that boy know he can cook some sweet potato pie.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I'm gonna probably order about 2, 3, 4 of them and give Brent one. See how you like. Brent, you like sweet potato pie?
Yeah, I do like it.
Okay. Hey, Big Mark, I'm gonna put in an order, and then I'm gonna pay your way to Onondaga. And you come over here and check out this new track, but you make sure you bring about 4 of them sweet potato pies, because me and Brent going to be fighting. Well, I don't know about me and Brent. Me and First Lady going to be fighting over 1 or 2 of them sweet potato pies, man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. No problem. Just let me know when. Hopefully I haven't made one of them pound cakes, too, man. That pound cake was so moist, it wasn't dry. You didn't even need no milk or nothing to eat that pound cake. And all it tastes is like pure butter when you bit into it, man. It was delicious.
Hey, First Lady.
Yes. What's up, Dave?
When I asked Britt, did he like sweet potato pie, I noticed he didn't include you in on that.
I don't like sweet potato pie.
What?
Nope.
Oh, she gets the first slice, Big Mark. She gets the first slice. We're gonna watch her smack her lips and smile. Can I get another piece?
Hey,
We're gonna see if we can get Leah Kid to bring a sample packet. Give a nice sample of that pound cake, a nice piece of that carrot cake, and a big slice of sweet potato pie.
Mm-hmm. She gonna like it come that day.
See, everything you just mentioned, I don't even like. None of it.
First lady, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so.
I think you like.
I swear to you. I like chocolate cake, and that's it.
Hold on, Shake. You don't like, what kind of cake you like?
Chocolate cake.
Everybody like chocolate cake. Like a fresh
cake. That's all I like.
So you don't eat German chocolate cake?
Nope, I don't like German chocolate either.
I love me some German chocolate.
German chocolate cake is the best.
First lady, I'm ashamed of you, First Lady. Sweet potato pie. Sweet potato pie.
Hey, you know what? I'm kind of convinced now. I ain't being a racist, no shit like that. You like white cakes?
No, I don't. Nope.
He say you like white cakes.
Hey, you saw Django? Do say anybody wants a white cake?
No, I don't even like white cake.
The Django.
Hey, what about corned beef?
Oh man,
you can be
excused now. You don't like corned beef. You can. First Lady has just left the building. Everybody.
See, now you know why my belly gets so big, because I get all the food.
You don't eat pork chops?
I like pork chops, yeah.
Okay. Now you didn't warm my heart over.
Hey, Bay boy, she made the first base. That's funny, she made it first base.
Good God almighty.
had to compromise the standards, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can have all the noodles, the cheese, the German chocolate, potato pie, any kind like that. You guys can have it all.
Okay, I want your slice of German chocolate and corned beef.
You can have all of it, Shake.
I'll take it.
Or y'all just don't know what y'all missing.
Hey, Let me just read the script. Okay, what is her favorite food?
I like salad. I like steak.
Pizza? You like pizza?
I like pizza. All right, yeah, it's all right.
What about lasagna or something like that?
About what?
Lasagna. No, I get all that. We eat it all, but she don't eat a lot of it.
No.
Oh, wow.
So I get all the macaroni and cheese, everything.
Olive Garden on y'all main menu at home. Y'all going out to Olive Garden and stuff like that for salad. She says she likes salad.
Yeah, Olive Garden is pretty good.
Hey, we got Christmas coming up. I do know where you stay at, don't I, Brent? Yeah, I've been there once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So make sure y'all don't throw nothing out come Christmas.
Anytime, Shake. You know that.
My man.
Come down, he has to come in the house.
Yeah, you know where 94 runs right through there, Albion. You know, you just got to drop in and see me, buddy.
All right.
I know you'd be coming by that exit.
Mm-hmm. I got you locked in.
Yeah, anytime, buddy.
All right. Well, Teo, we were talking about some lasagna. I see you didn't hold your hand up. Teo make the best lasagna from here to the West Coast. Just can't get him to send me none.
You got to come out here and get it, baby. You gotta come out here and eat.
The UPS is a package and send it out here frozen.
Yeah, it'll probably stay frozen in the weather you got right now. You have to wait till like March or April to eat it.
No, we got microwaves, KO. We do have microwaves in this cold climate.
Wait a minute, you gonna put homemade lasagna in a microwave? Come on now.
Yeah, because I ain't got time for that oven. That oven, that 350 degrees take too long, man. It take too long. My mouth be watering and shit.
What was it, about 70 or 80 out there today, Tail?
Hell no, it's about 60 degrees outside right now. Freezing outside right now, man. Say 60, Brett.
Don't even say 60.
What's the matter with you guys, right?
Every time you say 60 degrees, they'll get a cold chill on his back. He's reaching for his coat now. 60 degrees, Tail.
Put the blanket on my shoulders right now. What is the name? Popeye. He said, "I'll give you give me a 2 cents while I give me a hamburger. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday." What was his name? Popeye. Got more basketball players in the building than anything. Go on, get your bad money. That boy get money, man. Kawhi Leonard. I know Kawhi. I'm talking about who's sponsoring it. The money team, the boy, the money team.
Oh, damn! You don't know Mayweather name?
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather, man. That man, he's promoting that fight, man. He's promoting this fight on a Sunday. It's Sunday. They supposed to have a fight on Saturday, not a Sunday. Ooh, she pretty. Smack my mom on the ass. Yeah, smack her.
Watch your mouth.
Sorry, mama.
All right, darling. Y'all done went to safety all the way to cheesecakes and sweet potato pie. So,
her lady don't eat corned beef. How the hell she don't eat corned beef? Corned beef good.
She must don't know what Italian beef is.
Hey, his name was Wimpy on the Popeye show.
Wimpy. I was looking it up, first lady.
Wimpy.
You pushed the button faster than I did.
I did too.
Computer wizard. Well, Brent, I feel like you. Can't wait till spring get here, man. But you know what? It's gonna come quicker than we think. We got a few weeks before Christmas will be here. January will be here. If you stay busy, time just go past quick as heck.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, we got some announcements to make. I'm sorry, people. I ain't on my P's and Q's. I'm ready to go lay down and go to sleep. Florida. Baldy's having a race this coming weekend, the 9, 10, 11, 12. At Orlando Speedway, Baldy's race. It is the biggest and the baddest race of all times. The end of the year finale. Oh, I shouldn't say that. That's Mike Hill's end of the year. But it is a good race. It's at Orlando Speed World. That's the 9th, 10th, 11th, and the 12th. That's coming this weekend. There is, oh, Big Mark, the Autorama will be March the 4th, 5th, and 6th. If you're planning on coming to Detroit, the Autorama will be here March the 4th, 5th, and the 6th. If you can one of those days, if you can make it one of those days, I got you. That's it. I don't have no more races coming up. Ain't nothing been posted for next year. So
where's
those that want to travel.
Jake?
The Autorama's at the, well, we used to call it the Cobo Arena downtown. It's right, it's probably about, I want to say probably, no, I would say about 30 feet from the river. It's a downtown arena. It's called the Cobo Hall, or now it's called the TCI Center. It's indoor. It's a nice venue, but they have all the race cars that you can think of, bicycles, mini bike, motorcycles, antique cars, you name it. It's sort of like the what's that thing y'all got over there called the
World of the Wheels.
The World of the Wheels. You talking about the World of the Wheels?
Not y'all have in Indiana y'all call it the World of Wheels when it leaves Detroit.
No, not in Indiana. In Chicago we call it the World.
I mean Chicago.
In Indiana, I don't
in
know
Chicago.
What they call it.
But in over on the West Coast they got something called Man, I'm getting sleepy as heck. I'm ready to lay down. They got
yeah, FEMA's way big. Yeah, that's way bigger than
I need to fix my Springer. I'm gonna take my Springer to World of Wheels. I win something. They don't even make the Harley Davidson don't even make Springers no more. They make them baggers and.
So what day do y'all have y'all World of Wheels? Because it's usually after we have our Autorama.
It's right after y'all have it first. Y'all have it first,
yeah.
And then we go to, they used to have it in the corner place. They do it now what's the name of that place over in Rivers? They do it at the Rivers now over there. But
at the Rivers.
Cars and stuff be pretty as all that though. They be pretty as all that though. They have everything from motorcycles to cars to
yeah.
Wow, Lord have mercy. And some of them guys, you know, some of them guys come from Detroit. They follow that. They follow that that scene
event.
And they,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That event.
Yeah, that event, and then you just go around, you know, showing the car off and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice cars, too.
It'd be nice. It's a great thing to go to, Tayo. If you wasn't scared of the snow, I'd pay your way out here so you could see it.
Oh, so you're saying it's cold there, right? Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
If he pay your way, Tayo, I'm gonna tell you this here. He gonna eat you goddamn out of house and home. I think. That's what I'm just saying. I ain't never saw no. You the real guy. I pay you on Tuesday.
You can't get your lie out straight. You can't get your lie out. Hey,
I do know this, baby boy. And then he went to Georgia and he picked up a couple of velvet cakes. Ask him how many came back to Detroit. How much came back to Detroit?
I think it's time to end this show. Where's that button at? Where's that button at? Hey, but that's some good ass cake though, Tayo. You didn't. That was Miss Supersport made that cake. What was it, a cream cheese, velvet cream cheesecake? She is homemade, and she make them and sell them. every time I go through there, I'm going, whenever I go to Valdosta, Florida, I stop right at her house, grab me one of them cakes, and watch it disappear. Melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
Hey, Tayo, you guys got a, don't you guys have a big hot rod reunion every year now and then?
Well, there's a couple of reunions. They have the Route 66 reunion they have out here. And then they have the Moon Eyes reunion. So, yeah, there's a few of them that they have out here.
Yeah, I remember seeing one on TV, and I thought it was just humongous. All the cars and saw the old race cars and some of everything. It was just a regular smorgasbord or whatever you wanted to see. Bikes, cars, vans. You guys had it all out there.
You know what's cool too? A lot of people who have the old the cars that were in movies like Hollywood Nights, a lot of those guys bring those cars out. So, yeah, it's a lot of cars come out to those things.
Yep, California Kid. I think that was the first one I was in love with. I don't even know what year that car was. I love that movie, though. California Kid. He had a hole cut in the floor, and every time he shifted the car, he reached down there directly to the trans and snatch a gear, pull a lever. And I mean, boy, that was one of the first movies I seen that I really liked. That was way before, Smokey and the Bandit. That was way before Smokey and the Bandit.
American Graffiti was one of my favorites.
It was an old
movie in the early 60s, might have been the late 50s, called Hot Rods to Hell. That was a good movie.
Hot Rods to Hell.
Yeah, two-lane blacktop. And you had...
Macon County Line.
Oh, yeah. Vanishing Point.
Vanishing Point was a good movie. I had a Challenger just like that.
Okay. That was another movie where these two guys was riding around, going from area to area racing. I think they had a 57 Chevy in the movie.
Yeah, it was a 55. It was two-lane blacktop.
That was two-lane blacktop. Okay, yeah.
I went to the smorgasbord. We got put out. I took Shake and Bake, and we got put out. Shake and Bake.
You can't even make up a good lie, man. It was going good. It was going good until you start stuttering. When you start stuttering, everybody knew you was lying your ass off.
Ain't nothing wrong. Something come out of somebody's mouth.
Yeah.
A lie ain't nothing to
tell. I knew you was trying, but you can't pull the okey doke on Shake and Bake, man. I just ate too.
I had to get you.
I'm sitting here looking at this shrimp, man, about the size of a glove. I was like, man, I can't eat the rest of that. I'm gonna send it to baby boy.
Hey, Shake, if I can change the subject for a second, man. Your guy with the racetrack that was having a problem with the neighbor, how did that turn out?
Oh, he said he's waiting to go to federal court. Because all the courts and stuff they've been doing is local. But when it goes to federal court, he say the federal people ain't going to put up with all this little stupid nyan-nyan stuff. And he can't
wait.
So once it goes through that, he should be through with all this bull crap. Talking about they can only open a certain time. Got to close by the time the sun go down. You can't race on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Man, he's still going through a little bit, but he's getting ready to go to federal court.
and his lawyers. And I'm going to tell you, Bill Denny ain't short on no money. So he got some good lawyers on his side. He sure do. Because if not, his shit would have crumbled a long time ago.
Okay.
Yep. And we ain't heard nothing else about Milan. Anybody heard something about Milan? Give us an update on it. No more than if two people own it. One of them name is Harold, and the other name is Perry. I'm friends with Harold on Facebook. I don't see Perry's name popping up nowhere. He might be a silent partner. Who knows? But I'm assuming that they're going to go ahead and get ready for next year since they wasn't able to do a race this year. If they're going to do some fixing up, so you can assume the first of the year come spring, they probably ain't going to be open. Maybe until the end, till three quarters of the year is out. I don't know. But if they're going to do some tearing down come spring and start fixing stuff, you know that takes time. So I'm assuming they may not be open next year, and they may be. I don't know, depending on how much they get taken care of.
Okay.
They just cranked $3 million off for that track. And this person got paid off. So I guess we can say bye-bye, Janine.
Bye, Felicia. So
there's no more court proceedings going on, and everything's been settled. Everybody's been paid. Now it's just a matter of getting the track together. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. What you say, Tail?
I said bye, Felicia. Have a nice day.
Good night, John Boy.
Yeah.
Damn, this man said good night, John Boy.
hell. Y'all ain't got good sense. See what happened when y'all got a full stomach?
Oh, I'm telling you. Shake, you be down in Florida this weekend?
No, I have to call it canceled, Big Mark. I want to go, but that's why I'm so tired now. I did an all-nighter last night. I got a lot of work done. I've been busting my tail off, so I've been seeing some progress. I got to keep doing this, man, until I get closer and closer to that race car, man, because I'm tired of spectating.
Right. I understand.
These guys here, when you remember we got through talking about trickery in the game?
Yeah.
The biggest ultimate trick is don't say nothing to nobody. Don't say a word. When they don't know what hit them, sneaks up on them. That element of surprise is your best defense.
Mm-hmm. That's when you pull them out of the bushes.
Yes, sir. Tell you get my text?
I did not.
That was 4 hours ago.
Then I got you. I just saw it now.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, fellas. Y'all going to keep this talking up. It will be 12 o'clock. It's 11:11 here. She'll go off at 12. Y'all still talking? So can we hit the road, Jack? Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
Yeah, we got to hit the road, man. I gotta get another blanket, man, because I think it's about
60 degrees out there?
Not down to 59.
Hey, everybody listening on the show, every time we mention 60 degrees, they'll get a cold chill.
Tail gets a cold chill. So all together, we're going to all say 60 degrees at the same time. One, two, three.
I'm on 60 mute.
Degrees.
I'm on mute.
unmute.
Hey, man, up 60 degrees, we walking around in T-shirts up here.
All
right. Shake.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Hi, Shake.
Hey, Chachi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. What happens to you when I say 60 degrees?
But, I mean, I want to move on the East Coast. I heard
Daddy whispering to you. He told you to say that. We heard him.
No, she wants to go to school at Penn State.
Oh yeah.
She lasts 3 minutes out there in the cold. Daddy, I would come back home.
Like
60
cold.
Degrees
yeah,
ain't cold.
Kind of cold. Honey, it's not 60-degree cold. It's like 32-degree cold.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay.
60 degrees ain't cold, Chachi.
She gonna call home and be stuttering. I'm like, what's the matter? She's, is it cold?
Yeah.
She's never seen a winter in Chicago. You waking up
right.
at 7 a.m. and the temperature's -14 with the wind chill of -31.
I sat
at a Bears game when in December when they were playing the Packers, and it was 10 degrees. I don't know what the wind chill was, but every time these guys stood up, I'm like, what are you standing up to sit down? We'll stay all stay warm if you just sit the fuck down. Mm-hmm. I was like, not happening, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there 1 year. It was 80 degrees on game day. It was beautiful, and I left on a Tuesday. It was 32 degrees. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? It was beautiful 2 days ago, and I was like, I got to get home. I ain't built like this.
If you ain't used to it, you'll get all four seasons in one day.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
Saying
yeah,
like
it happened.
That. Hey, you ever been outside at the racetrack and you, it, like you say, you seen the temperature, you just literally felt it drop instantly. Like you just, like somebody threw cold water on you all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when I travel, I'm like, you know, I think every place is California weather. So when I'm on the plane, I got shorts, flip-flops, and a sweatshirt on, and I get off that plane, and the outside doors open up, and that cold air come rushing in. I was like, I ain't going out there. I'll take my sweats out of my bag right there in the airport and put them on. I'm like, what the hell's happening here?
Hey, yo, Chachi still there?
No, she left.
Oh. Well, I wanted her to sing my favorite song.
Yeah, well, you saw she got the shirt.
Huh?
She got the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
She also... the kid I was just telling you about, that told you guys about, that's playing for the Tigers.
Yeah.
He just signed a 2-year deal with them. So he's going to be there for two more years. So guess what? I might be coming out to Detroit if the strike ends for some baseball.
See? And that's a good example. If he can come out
till,
here.
It ain't going to be till May or June. It won't be till May or June.
Oh, man. What you say, First Lady?
We still have snow sometimes in May.
Yeah.
Well, I'll wait till August then. How about that?
You shouldn't have said so. You shouldn't have told him, First Lady. Now he gonna play dodgeball.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna come out there in August. We'll just play it safe.
When you do come, you're gonna find out why they call this Michigan crazy weather
It could be the fourth week in July, and it'll still snow.
You know what? Just say, Tayo, don't come out here. Just say it like that, okay? I keep having a date, and you keep telling me it's going to snow. Just tell me you don't want me to come out.
I got to be honest with you, man. I'm just telling you what you might expect.
Well, wait a minute. I was out there in May when I brought the car out, and it was just rain, so I could deal with the rain.
Okay. Just a little.
It was good.
Hey, all the wind had to do was change from Canada to Michigan, and that rain would have turned to snow. Just that quick.
Yeah, you know what? I ain't even crossing the Mississippi, okay? I'm staying out this way. I ain't even going past the Rocky Mountains. I'm just staying down south.
Oh, man. Well, y'all see how Tayo is now. Hear his brother from another mother. I can call and say, Tayo, they breaking in my shop. Help, help, Cecil, help. He wouldn't even bother about flying out here.
That's not true. I would ask you what the weather's like, and then I'll come.
See, that's my brother from another mother.
You know I'm going to be there. It's going to be when it warms up.
Yeah, when they put me in the ground.
Oh, quit.
Tell them to meet you at the airport with a Parker. Tell them to bring an extra Parker with them.
Oh, yeah, see?
Low down.
No, actually, you know what, though? It was nice out there both times I was out there.
Well, you got a break. You got two breaks. Three strikes.
Well, I think they're both in the. I think they were both in May when I came out. Yeah, you know what? We were actually following that. There was like a storm, and it was just ahead of us. I think from in Ohio, and then it kept going east, and we were going north, so we kind of lucked out there. But it was still good. Good time out there, man. Met a ton of nice people.
Hey, Shake, where your Ford guys at tonight, man?
Corey took a dive today. He's missing in action.
Hey, well, should we send AAA down the highway to see if we can spot him?
if he can come off the freeway and go in them bushes, he might have good luck, because they hide. We ain't got too many more. A lot of them done broke and disappeared. Big Mark. I think they left Corey hanging. Corey by himself. Let's see. Richard Chevy, man. Tayo Chevy, man. Baby Boy, a motorcycle, man. I'm a Chevy, man. Damn. Corey by himself. I guess because he's a Ford guy. And he'll round all these Chevys. He know not to come on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm sitting here getting sleepy. Let me look at this board. Okay. It's 11:21. Let me find some.
some farewell music.
All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good night there, sir.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the..."
Hold it now, wait, hold it. That's played out. Hit it!
"Don't you give me all that jive about..." Y'all know who that is. Hey, Brett, name that person singing that song. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas... Oh, too late. He just gave his name up. I was going to give you $100 if you could have named it, but trivia over with. All right. Let's see. I had Big Mark. I mean, I had Unknown do it. Baby boy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still right here. I'm watching the fight. I'm watching the fight and listening to you talk. What you got going on?
You
got no rap motorcycles. I'll blow a motherfucker ass out.
Hold your horses. Take yourself away from that that Sony TV and close us out out of here.
What do you want me to say? It was a good
say
night. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, everybody. We love you. We'll be back next week. Same time, same bat channel. And get you some rest. Love you.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Grub Show. Baby Boy took us out of here hard and cold. So if I don't see y'all next weekend, you know I'm stuck up under one of these cars. So what I'll do is I want everybody to stay safe and put God first in everything you do. And we out of here.
He was rolling, he was holy, and I said, holy moly. You got a lot of wishes on your chinny chin chin. He allowed, he was proud of the hairy little crowd on the point of the door where the sin should have been. Get food for a fool, going out every you for a day on the plane when the cold was low. Through the beard may be weird, but I'll never have a cheer, cause it's warm in the storm when it's in below. Yo, Ron, it's cold tonight, but can you stop for a drop before you go? He said, why not? If the music hot and our chance to dance beneath the mistletoe. So he went downstairs and forgot his scares, and he rocked his spot and danced like a pro. And every young girl tried to rock his world, but he booked the yogi yogi till he had to go. And before he went, this fine old gent bought a gift with a tip to his big red bag.